We now interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for this special presentation from Chisholm Trail Broadcasting Sports. It's time for Enid Plainsman Baseball on 1390 KCRC and ctbsports.com.
That one is hit hard into center, and Holden, did he make the catch? He dove for it. Yes, he did. The Enid Plainsman knock off the Broken Arrow Tigers 2-1. It's all on his shoulders, and he'll blast it over to third. But there goes McNeil. Picks it up and throws him out at first. The Enid Plainsman come back from down 2-0 and knock off the Edmond North Huskies 3-2 to close out the Gladys Winners Tournament here at David Allen Ballpark.
2-2 to cross. Swing and a drive to left. That ball is over the wall and out of here. Cross Bay just drilled a solo shot to left field to start this game.
Enid Plainsman Baseball is brought to you by Henniger Henson Funeral Home, Stevens Ford, and by our Chisholm Trail Broadcasting Sports Boosters.
Let's head down to the field right now with the voice of the Plainsman, John Herrick. It's Enid Plainsman Baseball on KCRC and ctbsports.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to radio coverage of Enid Plainsman Baseball on CTB Sports Radio, AM 1390 KCRC. Don't forget, we're also coming to you on the World Wide Web at ctbsports.com and on the CTB Sports app for your mobile device. The regular season is over, and now the real season begins with the playoffs today as the Enid Plainsman gets set to face the Sepulpa Chieftains coming up in a few minutes in this double elimination 6A regional. I'm John Herrick, along with Butch Lingenfelter, bringing you all the action from Jinx. Enid finished the regular season with a record of 22-11 after losing to Stillwater in the regular season finale on Monday night, 7-4, and that game went 11 innings. They had seven pitchers pitch in the game to both conserve pitching and also get those pitchers ready for the playoffs, and they'll face a Sepulpa team that's had a bit of a tough year going 13-20, but is a very improved squad off of last year's team that only won six games, and the year before that, Sepulpa won just four games. So this year, they've won 13 coming into this regional. They haven't played baseball in nearly a week. Sepulpa's last game was a regular season closeout loss against Claremore by a score of 5-2. Now, they did finish out their last two district games with wins over Booker T. Washington by scores of 15-3 and 3-1. Their only two other district wins came against Ponca City by scores of 4-3 and 6-5. Enid went 10-4 district play, finished with the third seed, and almost hosted a regional, but lost the tiebreaker to Tulsa Union. Union ended up with the second seed. Enid is scoring 5 runs a game and allowing 3. Sepulpa scores 4 runs a game and allows 6. They're just 5-14 against 6A teams this year, while Enid is 12-10 against 6A opponents. Now, the winner of this game is going to play in the next game at 4:30. They'll play the winner of the game that's going on right now. We are in the top of the seventh between Jinx and Sand Springs. And right now, it is a 7-5 lead for Jinx with one out in the top of the seventh. And Sand Springs is trying to keep this thing going here. They've got a runner on first with one out, and the tying run is at the plate. So we'll continue to monitor that as we go forward here with this game and see who's going to go to the winner's bracket and who will be one loss away from elimination. Now, the loser of this game will play the loser of this game right now between Sand Springs and Jinx. If Enid happens to lose this game against Sepulpa, they'll play the loser of this game. If they win, they'll play the winner of it. At 4:30, the losers will play at 6:30 in the consolation bracket and be one loss away from elimination. Now, one game is scheduled for this regional on Friday at 6:30 with an if necessary game set for 1 p.m. on Saturday if we have to go there. This regional was originally scheduled for Wednesday, but because of inclement weather that hit the Jinx and Tulsa area, they forced the action to be moved back a day to Thursday, and here we are as we get ready to see the Enid Plainsman 2017 squad in the postseason. Of course, last year it was a very difficult end to the postseason for them. They lost their first game in regionals at Deer Creek Edmond to Edmond North 5-0, and then suffered a heartbreaking 3-2 loss to Muskogee in the elimination game on the consolation bracket of that regional. So they definitely don't want to have a repeat of what last year was all about. In fact, Enid baseball coach Brad Gore talked about how his team is different this year and how they've learned from last year's experience. We are going to hear from Enid Plainsman baseball coach Brad Gore in our next segment. You are listening to Enid Plainsman Baseball on CTV Sports Radio, AM 1390 KCRC.
Everything went as smoothly as I'd ever seen. Mother looked very nice. That in itself made the day easier to deal with.
No one likes planning a funeral, but we all deal with it at some point. You can take comfort in knowing at Henniger Henson Funeral Home, we'll be there with caring and consoling support you and your loved ones need. At Henniger Henson, we are intimately familiar with every part of the planning process, and we'll relieve some of the burden and grief. We have over a century of dedicated service, integrity, honesty, and friendship. This is Matt Henson. Please visit us at EnidWeCare.com.
We at Stevens Ford, Lincoln, and Enid are proud to support the young men and women of Enid High School with our sponsorship for the broadcast of this ballgame. And we encourage you to show your support by attending as many games as you possibly can. Being there is important because the young men and women of Enid High School today are the future leaders of our community. So let's tell all the young men and women of Enid High School, whether they participate in a sporting event or not, we believe in the future of Enid because of them. And do it by being in the bleachers as often as you can.
What do we want for dinner?
Oh, I want a sandwich.
I want hot wings.
I'm on a diet, so I need a salad.
You know what sounds good to me? Shrimp.
All right, guys, let's narrow this down, because we're never going to find one place that has all that variety.
Sure we will. Wings to go.
Wings to go?
Of course, Wings to go. They have a great family atmosphere with all the menu items you could want.
I love their video games.
Everybody gets what they want to eat, and I get to watch the game. Awesome.
2, 4, 6, 8. Whose wings are really great?
Wings to go, don't you know?
When you're a grower, you know what it takes to thrive in the field. We understand and respect that. When you've got a financial partner working alongside you, it makes the days a little easier and the numbers all add up. We're experienced when it comes to agriculture. We've been doing business in Oklahoma for almost 100 years. Farm Credit of Enid.
The Bank of Kremlin offers the best of both worlds, high-tech convenience and friendly first-name service. Their online services are very convenient. If you have an internet connection, you can do a lot of your banking from the comfort of your own home at bankofkremlin.com. Internet banking, bill pay, and e-statements all now available free, or come in and sit across the desk from someone you know. That's community banking in the 21st century. The Bank of Kremlin, with 5 area locations, member FDIC.
Do you need money fast? Take your unwanted gold and silver jewelry or tokens to CC Coins and walk out with your pockets full of cold hard cash. CC Coins will pay you top dollar for broken, tarnished, and unused gold and silver items. You can also buy, sell, and trade your coins and currency. From the avid coin collector to the person looking for that special item, you'll find what completes your collection. Go see Clifford at CC Coins, 813 West Main in Enid, PM 001483. Warmer weather is on the way. Call Slater Mechanical today to schedule your appointment to have your air conditioner inspected for only $79.95. They are licensed technicians, and for only $79.95, you can have peace of mind that your air conditioner is ready for spring and summer. Get ready for the summer. For only $79.95, Slater Mechanical will inspect your AC. Call Zach and Seth Slater at Slater Mechanical today, 747-3330. That's 747-3330.
Do you have a property you need to sell? Or maybe you're looking for that perfect starter home or dream plot of land? The A-Team, the Coldwell Banker, will work for you and with you to make your transaction as smooth as possible. Let one of the motivated agents at Coldwell Banker help guide you through your home buying or selling process. When it comes to such a big decision, you deserve the best, and you'll only find the best at Coldwell Banker. Call 233-8833 or visit enidsbest.com and let Coldwell Banker do the rest.
KCRC.
It is a special playoff edition of Enid Plainsman Baseball on CTV Sports Radio 1390 KCRC at the 6A Regional from Jenks. I'm John Herrick, now here with Enid Baseball Coach Brad Gore. Coach, the real season begins today, the playoffs. It's exciting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's exciting. Beautiful day to play, and I know our kids are ready to get out there and get after it.
How have you managed this week? I know you guys had that long game against Stillwater. What have you done since that on Tuesday, Wednesday?
Well, you know, we had two really good practices. Not real grueling practices, but just go over the things that we needed to go over to get ready to play today. So I feel like our kids are really primed and ready to go.
And, you know, this is a regional where, you know, you guys, Enid and Jinx, kind of have a little bit of a rivalry going back even in football and other sports. And you could play them. You might not. You got Sepulpa, Sand Springs, and Jinx in this regional. Let's talk about Sepulpa first. They're 13-20, but last year they won 6 games. The year before they won 4. So they're kind of having one of their better seasons in recent memory.
Oh, without a doubt. They got a new coach. Coach Irvin does a good job. He does a good job with his kids. They'll play hard, and we better worry solely on Sepulpa. They have a good left-handed pitcher, good righty. So, you know, we never know who we're going to see here. But, you know, as you can see from the game going on right now, 5-5 ball game in the fifth inning. So, can't take anything for granted. We just got to go one pitch, one play at a time.
What's the atmosphere been like with your team for a lot of these guys, freshmen and sophomores for you? This is a new experience for them. Luckily, you've got a lot of good senior leadership to help them through it, too.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I don't really think our guys are too concerned with the playoff situation. I think they've played a lot of baseball, gained a lot of confidence this summer. So we'll see. You never know how they respond when they get out here on the field, actually. But I think they're just excited and ready to go.
What is it about playoff? You've coached in a lot of games. You've won a couple state championships. What is it about playoff baseball that makes it different?
Well, it's all on the line, you know. I mean, everything's on the line. And, you know, if you lose a couple games, you're done for the season. So kids tend to pick up their game a little bit as they get closer to the playoffs. And hopefully we do. You know, some teams lay down, some don't. So I think it's just the overall atmosphere of knowing that, you know, you lose a couple games, your season's over. Everybody wants to get to the state tournament, have a chance to win a state championship. So I think the urgency of every play matters, every pitch matters. So it's a lot different.
Brett Russell is going to – you probably don't know the rest of your pitching rotation as of now, but you know Brett Russell is going to go in this game against Sepulpa. He's been steady and consistent all for you all year, hadn't he?
Yeah, you know, he's pitched well all year. He had one bad inning against Stillwater. Other than that, he's been really good. So we feel good about that. That's kind of the reason we went with him is, you know, I think he's really consistent right now and has some confidence. So I think if we play behind him, he'll give us a good chance to win.
What are the challenges with pitching? Because you guys got to play 2 games today, and then you might have to come back and play more tomorrow if you advance to then. So you kind of have to have pitching depth, and it looks like you've built that. How have you been able to build that?
Yeah, you know, we're blessed with some pretty good arms and some pretty good guys that know how to pitch. So, you know, that's what you play the whole season for is this point right here. So all of the depth that we've built up comes into play. So, you know, we told the kids yesterday that don't, if we happen to slip up and lose a game, don't quit, because that's what we've built for, is to come back from situations that we might put ourselves in. So, you know, I like our chances in the game we play, but I feel good about this regional if the kids believe in themselves and just get out there and get after it.
I'm sure last year what happened in regionals is a big motivating factor. I thought you know, I think you guys all thought you'd advance today too. That didn't happen, and that feeling of going home was pretty hard to take, and I know that's been a big motivating factor for you guys this year.
Oh, no doubt. It stinks, you know. Just put it bluntly, it really stinks to get, you know, beat and sent home on the first day, but you know, I think we have a different ball club this year, a little different mindset, and that's just part of the process of building your program up. And I think these guys will fight till the very last out. So, you know, I'm just excited to get out there and see what we can do.
Enid Baseball Coach Brad Gore. Coach, good luck today. Ought to be interesting.
Thanks, John.
We'll have your starting lineups and first pitch when we come back to Jinx in just a moment. It's Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Everything went as smoothly as I'd ever seen. Mother looked very nice. That in itself made the day easier to deal with.
No one likes planning a funeral, but we all deal with it at some point. You can take comfort in knowing at Henniger Henson Funeral Home, we'll be there with caring and consoling support you and your loved ones need. At Henniger Henson, we are intimately familiar with every part of the planning process, and we'll relieve some of the burden and grief. We have over a century of dedicated service, integrity, honesty, and friendship. This is Matt Henson. Please visit us at EnidWeCare.com.
We at Stevens Ford, Lincoln, and Enid are proud to support the young men and women of Enid High School with our sponsorship of the broadcast of this ballgame. And we encourage you to show your support by attending as many games as you possibly can. Being there is important because the young men and women of Enid High School today are the future leaders of our community. So let's tell all the young men and women of Enid High School, whether they participate in a sporting event or not, we believe in the future of Enid because of them. And do it by being in the bleachers as often as you can.
WTG.
What does that mean to you?
What to get?
Ribs, burgers, sandwiches, wraps, shrimp, catfish, wings, salads, great daily specials.
When to go?
7 days a week, lunch and dinner.
Why to go?
Fast, affordable, locally owned, smoke-free, kid-friendly.
Watch the game?
8 TVs, every sport imaginable.
Where to go?
Corner of Cleveland and Garriott, Westgate Shopping Center. Or have it delivered, 237-9464.
What's that great?
Simply Great Wings.
What is WTG?
Wings to go, don't you know?
Agriculture is more than a business. It's a way of life. We understand agriculture. We're local. We're here for the long haul. Agriculture is a business that varies like the weather. We're a financial partner you can grow with, in good times and bad, weather or not. Farm Credit of Enid.
The Bank of Kremlin offers the best of both worlds, high-tech convenience and friendly first-name service. Their online services are very convenient. If you have an internet connection, you can do a lot of your banking from the comfort of your own home at bankofkremlin.com. Internet banking, bill pay, and e-statements all now available free, or come in and sit across the desk from someone you know. That's community banking in the 21st century. The Bank of Kremlin, with 5 area locations, member FDIC.
Do you need money fast? Take your unwanted gold and silver jewelry or tokens to CC Coins and walk out with your pockets full of cold hard cash. CC Coins will pay you top dollar for broken, tarnished, and unused gold and silver items. You can also buy, sell, and trade your coins and currency. From the avid coin collector to the person looking for that special item, you'll find what completes your collection. Go see Clifford at CC Coins, 813 West Main in Enid, PM 001483. Warmer weather is on the way. Call Slater Mechanical today to schedule your appointment to have your air conditioner inspected for only $79.95. They are licensed technicians, and for only $79.95, you can have peace of mind that your air conditioner is ready for spring and summer. Get ready for the summer for only $79.95. Slater Mechanical will inspect your AC. Call Zach and Seth Slater at Slater Mechanical today. 747-3330. That's 747-3330.
Do you have a property you need to sell? Or maybe you're looking for that perfect starter home or dream plot of land? The A-Team, the Coldwell Banker, will work for you and with you to make your transaction as smooth as possible. Let one of the motivated agents at Coldwell Banker help guide you through your home buying or selling process. When it comes to such a big decision, you deserve the best, and you'll only find the best at Coldwell Banker. Call 233-8833 or visit enidsbest.com and let Coldwell Banker do the rest.
KCRC.
All right, we are back here at Jenks High School getting you ready for the 6A regional round featuring the Enid Plainsmen. They will face the Sepulpa Chieftains first. And the game that was before this one took a little bit longer than expected. However, Jinx, who was the favorite coming in, was able to knock off the Sand Springs Sandites by a count of 7-5. And Jinx jumped out in that game early, took a 3-0 lead. Sand Springs came back and tied the game up at 5. But then Jinx was able to get 2 pivotal runs there in the bottom of the 5th. And win, go up 7-5 and go on to win by that score. So now we know this. Whoever wins this upcoming game between Enid and Sepulpa will face Jinx in the very next game after it, which is scheduled for 4:30. That's probably going to start a little bit later, given the fact that the first game just ran late. And then the loser of this game will have to wait a little bit and play what is scheduled to be at 6:30 start against Sand Springs. So Sand Springs knows they are now one loss away from elimination after a hard-fought defeat to the Jenks Trojans. So here's what we've got coming up. It's the Enid Plainsmen against the Sepulpa Chieftains, and we'll have another game after that. We just don't know when. Will it be in the very next game against Jenks in the winner's bracket, or will it be in the consolation bracket after a loss against Sand Springs after Jenks won that first game 7-5? Now here's what's happening all across the other 6A regionals. There will be 8 teams that are headed to the state tournament, and that's the winner of every regional. In 6A Regional 1, it's Norman North, Southmore, and Norman in that regional. In the 6A West Region 2, Mustang, Putnam City West, Putnam City North, and Choctaw. In Region 3, Edmond Memorial, Midwest City, and Yukon. In Region 4, it is Edmond Santa Fe, Putnam City, Lawton, and Westmore. In Region 5, it is Deer Creek, Edmond, Muskogee, Edmond North, and Bartlesville. In this one, of course, you know it's Jinx, Sand Springs, Sepulpa, and Enid. In Region 7, it's Owosso, Booker T. Washington, Bigsby, and Stillwater. And also in Region 8, it is Union, Ponca City, Moore, and Broken Arrow. Now, we do have some scores to let you know about that have happened. Some of these games happened last night. So let's update you on those first. In Region 4, with Edmond, Santa Fe, Putnam City, Lawton, and Westmore, here's what happened last night. Edmond, Santa Fe was able to beat Putnam City in the first game, 2-1, and they would go on to beat Lawton in the regional semifinals, 6-0. So they're going to play tonight at 6. Putnam City, with the loss, faced Westmore last night, and Westmore beat them 3-0. That was after Lawton upset Westmore 2-1 in the second game of the day out there yesterday. So we know this is coming up tonight in Region 4. Westmore is playing Lawton at 4 o'clock, and the winner of that game will play Edmond Santa Fe at 6. The loser between Westmore and Lawton will be done. In 6A East, Region 5, Deer Creek was all over Muskogee last night, 7-1. Edmond North won a close affair over Bartlesville, 4-3. So Edmond North is playing Deer Creek today. At Edmond North played Deer Creek in the following game after that. Deer Creek won that game 9-1. So Deer Creek is going to play at 6:30 tonight. Muskogee, after falling into the loser's bracket, played Bartlesville. Bartlesville took care of business there, beating Muskogee 11-0. So Bartlesville will play Edmond North in a winner-take-all game at 4 o'clock. Winner of that game will move on. Loser will go home, and the winner will play Deer Creek at 6:30 tonight. So that's what we know so far in East Region 5. In one of the games that happened earlier today, it was Owosso triumphing over Booker T. Washington 13-6. And in the game that's about to happen, it's going on right now. In fact, it's scoreless in the second inning. Bigsby is playing Stillwater. The winner of that game will play Owosso at 4 o'clock today. The loser of that game will play Booker T. Washington in an elimination affair later tonight at 6:30. That's in Region 7. In Region 8, Union was able to defeat Ponca City 11-7. So Ponca City drops into the consolation bracket, and they will play at 6:30 tonight against the loser between the game that's going on right now between Moore and Broken Arrow. And the winner between Moore and Broken Arrow will play Union today at 4 o'clock. Let's see what other scores that are going on in progress. We know that Edmond Memorial leads Midwest City 2-1. That game is in the fifth. Stillwater and Bigsby scoreless in the second. And the two finals so far today, of course, Union 11-7 over Ponca City. Owosso takes down Booker T. Washington 13-6. Broken Arrow and Moore are scoreless early on in that one. They're getting the field ready for this next game between Enid and Sepulpa. So that's what's going on right now. They're wetting the grass, you know, basically kind of making sure all the infield is ready, making sure the grass is taken care of. They're doing their usual pregame routine. Of course, we're not used to seeing this at David Allen Ballpark, since David Allen is now all turf infield, but all the other outfields across Oklahoma and a lot of America that don't have turf have to take care of the dirt and the grass in the infield and outfield in between ball games. Sepulpa will come out in blue jerseys with silver numbers and letters, white pants, blue hats with the Sepulpa S on it on the front of their hats. And Enid will be in their throwback jerseys with white uniforms, a light blue and dark blue trim and outline with EHS across the front, and blue and white hats with the Plainsman logo on them. So those kind of look like a throwback to the days of the Montreal Expos when they wore jerseys like that. Back when they had Vladimir Guerrero and company, that's what that one looks like. And I'll bring in my color man, Butch Lingenfelter. Butch, you know, as great as this regular season was for the Enid Plainsmen, this is where the real stuff happens in the playoffs.
With the way that the playoffs are set up in 6A baseball particularly, your district opponents are hugely important to set up the seeding for the regional tournament. We've got the second seed in the regional tournament under the host team, Jinx Trojans. But it is. It's strictly a new game and a new tournament. And you really have to think about not merely today, but tomorrow. Because remember, only the winner goes. So you really don't care if you finish second or fourth if you don't win it. And that's what I know Coach Gore's talked about. Just even getting past that first game, should you lose one, you still have to go back and find a way to win those other games. And as you said, his team is structured for that act.
Yeah, definitely. He talked about in our pregame interview what it was, what that learning experience was like to bounce back from a tough day and lose in the regional round. You and I were there, and the mood in that ballpark when Enid lost to Muskogee was a very difficult one to describe. But clearly, they've channeled that, the entire program has, into some very positive energy, and it's translated into a 22-11 season.
It has a total turnaround from a year ago, not merely by the record, but the way the teams attack. I've seen this team get behind, not unlike some other teams we've had in the past, but turn around and come back and battle. Example being Stillwater game, the last game of the season, when we were behind 4-0, but battled back to take clear to the 11th inning. And I think that's the difference we've had in some teams in the past, is this team, from the top to the bottom, really feels like they can win any game no matter what's going on.
They certainly do. And Coach Brad Gore has had a lot of pregame discussions with them. He's having one final discussion with them right now in the dugout. Enid's going to be in the first base dugout. Sepulpa in the third base dugout. We're going to take a brief timeout. And when Butch and I come back, we'll have starting lineups and first pitch for you from Hinch Field at Jenks High School. You're listening to Enid Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Everything went as smoothly as I'd ever seen. Mother looked very nice. That in itself made the day easier to deal with.
No one likes planning a funeral, but we all deal with it at some point. You can take comfort in knowing at Henniger Henson Funeral Home, we'll be there with caring and consoling support you and your loved ones need. At Henniger Henson, we are intimately familiar with every part of the planning process, and we'll relieve some of the burden and grief. We have over a century of dedicated service, integrity, honesty, and friendship. This is Matt Henson. Please visit us at EnidWeCare.com.
We at Stevens Ford, Lincoln, and Enid are proud to support the young men and women of Enid High School with our sponsorship for the broadcast of this ballgame. And we encourage you to show your support by attending as many games as you possibly can. Being there is important because the young men and women of Enid High School today are the future leaders of our community. So let's tell all the young men and women of Enid High School, whether they participate in a sporting event or not, we believe in the future of Enid because of them. And do it by being in the bleachers as often as you can.
What do we want for dinner?
Oh, I want a sandwich.
I want hot wings.
I'm on a diet, so I need a salad.
You know what sounds good to me? Shrimp.
All right, guys, let's narrow this down, because we're never going to find one place that has all that variety.
Sure we will. Wings to go.
Wings to go?
Of course, Wings to go. They have a great family atmosphere with all the menu items you could want.
I love their video games.
Everybody gets what they want to eat, and I get to watch the game. Awesome.
2, 4, 6, 8. Who's wings are really great?
Weeks ago, don't you know?
When you're a grower, you know what it takes to thrive in the field. We understand and respect that. When you've got a financial partner working alongside you, it makes the days a little easier and the numbers all add up. We're experienced when it comes to agriculture. We've been doing business in Oklahoma for almost 100 years. Farm Credit of Enid.
The Bank of Kremlin offers the best of both worlds, high-tech convenience and friendly first-name service. Their online services are very convenient. If you have an internet connection, you can do a lot of your banking from the comfort of your own home at bankofkremlin.com. Internet banking, bill pay, and e-statements all now available free, or come in and sit across the desk from someone you know. That's community banking in the 21st century. The Bank of Kremlin, with 5 area locations, member FDIC.
Do you need money fast? Take your unwanted gold and silver jewelry or tokens to CC Coins and walk out with your pockets full of cold hard cash. CC Coins will pay you top dollar for broken, tarnished, and unused gold and silver items. You can also buy, sell, and trade your coins and currency. From the avid coin collector to the person looking for that special item, you'll find what completes your collection. Go see Clifford at CC Coins, 813 West Main in Enid, PM 001483. Warmer weather is on the way. Call Slater Mechanical today to schedule your appointment to have your air conditioner inspected for only $79.95. They are licensed technicians, and for only $79.95, you can have peace of mind that your air conditioner is ready for spring and summer. Get ready for the summer. For only $79.95, Slater Mechanical will inspect your AC. Call Zach and Seth Slater at Slater Mechanical today, 747-3330. That's 747-3330.
Do you have a property you need to sell, or maybe you're looking for that perfect starter home or dream plot of land? The A-Team at Coldwell Banker will work for you and with you to make your transaction as smooth as possible. Let one of the motivated agents at Coldwell Banker help guide you through your home buying or selling process. When it comes to such a big decision, you deserve the best, and you'll only find the best at Coldwell Banker. Call 233-8833 or visit enidsbest.com and let Coldwell Banker do the rest.
1390 KCRC.
Well, let's meet your starting lineups. First, we'll do the Enid Plainsmen, who are taking pregame right now. Again, if you're just joining us, the first game of the day out here between Jinx and Sand Springs. It definitely ran long. We got here, Butch and I got here a little after 1 o'clock today, and when we did that, they were only in the fourth inning. So when we got here at 1 o'clock for a game that was scheduled to start, I believe, at 11:30, they were still only in the fourth inning when we got here, and the game finished in favor of Jinx after a hard-fought contest where Sand Springs fought back from down 3-0 to tie the game up at 5. Jinx had to win a heart-pounding game. It got very interesting. Jinx scored 2 in the bottom of the 5th to go up 7-5, and then in the 7th inning, Sand Springs had runners on first and second with 1 out, so the tying run was on base, and they made the end of that game very interesting, although Jinx held on to win it 7-5. So the winner between Enid and Sepulpa will play Jinx in the very next game, which is slated to start at 4:30, but that's likely not going to start until about 5 now at least. And then the loser of this game will play in the late game tonight against Sand Springs and what will be an elimination affair. Let's go through the Enid starting lineup first. They're going to start Amber Wojtek, a sophomore second baseman. Batting second in the order will be Mason Scrimmager, sophomore third baseman. Third is Connor Gore, the freshman shortstop. Fourth is Cross Bay, the senior catcher. Fifth is Braden Pierce. He'll be the junior designated hitter today. Sixth is C.J. Arndt, senior right fielder. Seventh is Kobe Hudson, sophomore left fielder. Eighth is Colby Jarnigan, freshman first baseman. Colton Troxell is ninth in the order, and he is a senior center fielder. And Brett Russell will be the pitcher today for the Enid Plainsmen. And Butch, you and I were talking about this coming in about how, like, last year, Coach Brad Gordon, his first year at the helm, he was trying to find the rhythm of this team. And he was learning them. They were learning what his expectations were. You know, you look at the lineups last year, there were so many changes from 1 through 9. It was hardly ever the same from one game to the next. But this has been basically the 1 through 9, with the exception of maybe a couple of changes in there every now and then. But this has been pretty much the lineup all season.
Brad Gore and his staff started last summer trying to create the right lineup and the right situation for each of these players. So consequently, this all started way back in summer ball when Coach Gore decided to bring all of those guys together and start an Enid Plainsmen summer team that played the same schedule as the majors team did, and yet that gave him a chance to make these lineups fit together, know what each player's strengths and weaknesses are, both on the field and at the plate. And it also allowed him to look at his pitching staff and get a feel for who might he want to start today. It's nearly a year ago that started.
Yep.
We know Coach Gore well. His preparation and his assistant coaches as well has been stellar all year long.
And also, you know, another thing that's going to be interesting, too, with this Enid team as we go forward here is that they're going to come out and they're going to have different – they're going to break down the summer schedule even more. They're going to have – I think Denham Sullivan's going to coach the junior high, the younger team, and then Brad's going to coach the Plainsmen varsity like he did last year. And then on top of that, I think you're going to see Chris Jensen coach the majors. So every assistant coach for Enid is going to be involved in that summer baseball program in some form or another.
As Coach Gore and his staff work together and also work with these young kids, remember, we're dealing with a lot of freshmen and sophomores yet, but even the 7th and 8th grade class coming up, there's promise in both of those classes, and having those experienced guys, the same ones who's going to see them all the way through high school, is important to the players because, number one, they can show what they can do in summer ball. They don't have to wait till spring ball starts. And then, second, the coaches can work with each kid so much more and get some of those basic things out of the way when they're 7th and 8th graders with the same nomenclature, the same way of doing things that they have all the way through high school.
No doubt about it. It's a huge advantage. We're going to meet the Sepulpa starting lineup when we come back in just a moment. to Jinx High School. You're listening to Enid Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Everything went as smoothly as I'd ever seen. Mother looked very nice. That in itself made the day easier to deal with.
No one likes planning a funeral, but we all deal with it at some point. You can take comfort in knowing at Henniger Henson Funeral Home, we'll be there with caring and consoling support you and your loved ones need. At Henniger Henson, we are intimately familiar with every part of the planning process, and we'll relieve some of the burden and grief. We have over a century of dedicated service, integrity, honesty, and friendship. This is Matt Henson. Please visit us at EnidWeCare.com.
We at Stevens, Ford, Lincoln, and Enid are proud to support the young men and women of Enid High School with our sponsorship for the broadcast of this ballgame. And we encourage you to show your support by attending as many games as you possibly can. Being there is important because the young men and women of Enid High School today are the future leaders of our community. So let's tell all the young men and women of Enid High School, whether they participate in a sporting event or not, we believe in the future of Enid because of them. And do it by being in the bleachers as often as you can.
WTG.
What does that mean to you?
What to get?
Ribs, burgers, sandwiches, wraps, shrimp, catfish, wings, salads, great daily specials.
When to go?
7 days a week, lunch and dinner.
Why to go?
Fast, affordable, locally owned, smoke-free, kid-friendly.
Watch the game?
8 TVs, every sport imaginable.
Where to go?
Corner of Cleveland and Garriott, Westgate Shopping Center. Or have it delivered, 237-9464.
What's that great?
Simply Great Wings.
What is WTG?
Wings to go, don't you know?
Agriculture is more than a business. It's a way of life. We understand agriculture. We're local. We're here for the long haul. Agriculture is a business that varies like the weather. We're a financial partner you can grow with, in good times and bad, whether or not. Farm Credit of Enid.
The Bank of Kremlin offers the best of both worlds, high-tech convenience and friendly first-name service. Their online services are very convenient. If you have an internet connection, you can do a lot of your banking from the comfort of your own home at bankofkremlin.com. Internet banking, bill pay, and e-statements all now available free or come in and sit across the desk from someone you know. That's community banking in the 21st century. The Bank of Kremlin with 5 area locations, member FDIC.
Do you need money fast? Take your unwanted gold and silver jewelry or tokens to CC Coins and walk out with your pockets full of cold hard cash. CC Coins will pay you top dollar for broken, tarnished, and unused gold and silver items. You can also buy, sell, and trade your coins and currency. From the avid coin collector to the person looking for that special item, you'll find what completes your collection. Go see Clifford at CC Coins, 813 West Main in Enid, PM 001483. Warmer weather is on the way. Call Slater Mechanical today to schedule your appointment to have your air conditioner inspected for only $79.95. They are licensed technicians, and for only $79.95, you can have peace of mind that your air conditioner is ready for spring and summer. Get ready for the summer. For only $79.95, Slater Mechanical will inspect your AC. Call Zach and Seth Slater at Slater Mechanical today. 747-3330. That's 747-3330.
Do you have a property you need to sell? Or maybe you're looking for that perfect starter home or dream plot of land? The A-Team at Coldwell Banker will work for you and with you to make your transaction as smooth as possible. Let one of the motivated agents at Coldwell Banker help guide you through your home buying or selling process. When it comes to such a big decision, you deserve the best, and you'll only find the best at Coldwell Banker. Call 233-8833 or visit enidsbest.com and let Coldwell Banker do the rest.
1390 KCRC.
Well, we introduced you to the Enid starters before the last break. Let's give you the Sepulpa starting lineup. They'll lead off with Wyatt Sellers, the junior pitcher for Sepulpa in this game. Batting second will be Hayden Bullinger, the senior right fielder. Third is Alan Shibley, the sophomore shortstop. Fourth is Gage Williams, the freshman catcher. Fifth is Ethan Williams, the junior center fielder. Sixth is Colson Coffey, a freshman third baseman. Seventh is Kyle Alcorn, junior second baseman. Eighth is Cody Rossman, freshman first baseman. Ninth is Andrew Merrihue, a freshman designated hitter. And not in the batting lineup, but playing left field on defense, is Sean Holland. He is a freshman. So that for the Sepulpa Chieftains, their head coach is Steve Irvine. as he gives his team some high fives as they head back over to the dugout. They just finished up warm up. They just did, they just took infield hitting, and we are ready to get this one started between Enid and Sepulpa. Sepulpa with a record of 13-20, Enid at 22-11. But Butch, I think you and I were also talking about it before we came back on the air. Westmore, a team that struggled. They lost to Lawton the other night. Lawton, a team that's been under 500. Westmore considered a team that, you know, could go to state. There are a lot of instances. You see this every year in 6A where teams that you might think are the favorite, they end up getting upset. And you can't, you just can't predict what's going to happen in the 6A regional or state tournaments necessarily.
Only about 4 years ago, I recall going to OU to the state 6A tournament, and three of the eight teams that was in the state tournament had losing records going into the playoffs. Won a few games in the playoffs, so anything can happen. We've seen it before. And again, they got a good arm. They're bringing a big left-hander out that throws the ball really good. He's one of the top left-handers in the state, so we'll not only have to swing the bats well. Remember, we're a team built for a lot of base hits. We only had one home run all year and also not that many doubles. So I think it's going to be real important to make that left-hander get deep into counts and hopefully get into their bullpen sometime in the late innings if we need to.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
An important for Brett then to get off to a good start. When he struggled this year, it's been the first inning. So
you're
we'll
right.
See how that goes.
Well, and you mentioned the left-hander. There was a point during the regular season, Butch, where the Enid hitters were having really hard times with left-handers. And so especially really, really soft-throwing lefties. And Coach Gore said, that's just on it. We have got to find a way to make adjustments. But I'll tell you what, the last couple of left-handers they faced, they seem to be making those adjustments.
A lot of it is patience. Early in the year, we'd see those soft left-handers. We'd swing at a lot of early counts and get some ground balls or easy pop-ups. Later this year, I think even like you would do a hard thrower, try to get into a deeper count, see as many pitches, and that helps your mind adjust to those, that change of speed and also the movement of a left-hander who typically, those right-hand hitters, the ball moves away from them.
Enid is looking for their first state baseball championship since 1986. It has been a long drought for this Enid baseball program. This is their first winning season since 2010. It's their first 20-win season since 2009. And boy, has it been a lot of fun. I don't know, you know, Butch, you and I think, you know, we obviously couldn't make the trip out to Arizona, but it seemed like that trip to Arizona for this baseball team where they won the Lancer Valley Classic was where I think the belief started to come that this team could be special.
And recall that they lost a game early in the tournament, maybe the second or third game, to a team that they thought was, I mean, a lot of people thought was way better than they were, yet they battled back and won four games in a row after that and won that, and I think that's what set the tone for that early season, the wins against Bixby early, and then some late inning heroics. But then as the season's gone on, we've actually seen ourselves get better and pass some teams, I think, talent-wise and ability-wise, as well as how the coaching is done.
And I also think, too, that even what that's translated to as well, when Enid has gotten behind in games early, they have not panicked at all, and they have found a way to keep right in the thick of it, even on a Monday night game against Stillwater in a game that was meaningless in the terms of the standings, but certainly wasn't slow on effort, was it?
That's right, and boy, how'd you like to be at Owosso? What a tough regional
yeah.
that is with Bixby's bringing Kevin Elliott coming back and playing. I don't know if you heard this
yeah.
or not. The guy that was out when we played him. And Stillwater, we know how good they are.
Mean,
and obviously, Owosso.
You mean Cade Cavalli?
Cavalli. I'm sorry, Cavalli.
I was like, who is on Cavalli that plays for Bixby? But no, Cade
yeah.
Cavalli.
Yeah.
That is a big get back for Bixby. And Enid was fortunate enough to play that team in the regular season when Bixby didn't have him healthy. So you never know. Bixby, one of those teams that comes into this tournament regional-wise with a losing record and could very easily end up in the state tournament with a winning record depending on how they do in regionals.
That's why it's so important. We can't discount it. I know the coaches, these players are so young, they're going to play every inning by and large.
Yeah.
It'll be these young guys, they don't know. This is their first playoffs ever, so every inning is going to be important to it. I think it's easier for more age teams, more experienced teams to get upset or not play well. Not that they get upset,
yeah.
but not play well. Because they've just seen things happen before, whereas these guys, a lot of freshmen, sophomores, it's their first experience. They're going to play hard every pitch.
Yes, it is. Well, I'm not quite sure what the delay is here for the moment. I think we are still waiting on umpires to get out here. Now, I see one of them. because the coaches still have to go to home plate and have their plate meeting and exchange the lineups and do it in front of the umpire and do all of that stuff. Butch, one thing we got to keep an eye on, too, in this game, we've had I know we had a uniform snafu in one of the games we had earlier in the season at the Gladys Winners Tournament, and we also had a situation on Monday night in the game against Stillwater where Stillwater tried to have a guy courtesy run at base for a guy that got a base hit when he was already in the batting order. So
right.
That's umpires have to pay real close attention to that stuff.
Yeah, they'll have to keep that lineup card. They should look at it every batter that comes up, just glance at it, make sure it matches what they have. Because once a player's in the game as either a hitter or a position player, he can no longer courtesy run. And that's what we saw happen the other night against Stillwater. I don't know if that was maybe the coaches just agreed to do it or the umpires just didn't pay attention. But either way, it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, it should definitely not happen. We hope to God it does not happen, especially in a playoff game like this. Let's see if we can get you an update on any of the 6A regional scores going on right now in the postseason as Coach Brad Gore steps to home plate and Steve Irvine, the head coach for Sepulpa, meets him there with the umpires and they start to exchange the lineup card information. So if Enid wins this game, they will play in the winner's bracket against Jinx in the very next game after this one. If they lose, they'll play in the late game tonight against Sand Springs after Sand Springs fell to Jinx earlier today, 7-5. And right now we know Edmond Memorial has taken a 3-1 lead on Midwest City. Moore is on top of Broken Arrow, 2-1 in the second. Stillwater leads Bigsby 1-0 in the second inning of that game. Norman and Southmore just getting underway. So is Putnam City North and Choctaw. Ponca City and Union have gone final. Union wins that one 11-7. And Owosso heavily favored over Booker T. Washington, and they win that game 13-6. Another area team to keep an eye on in the Class B state tournament right now, Leukeba Sickles is all over the Cimarron Trailblazers, 7-0. That game is in the fourth inning. The other Class B tournament game going on that happened earlier today, Roff defeated Moss 11-1 in a battle of one-syllable teams.
hopefully you have two syllables for the mascot,
yeah.
Roff.
Roff and Moss, yeah.
Yeah. Roff and
yeah.
Moss, yeah.
I was wondering, and then, of course, you got Leukeba Sickles and Cimarron, and there's a bunch of syllables in those. So,
now, Cimarron, I thought, did well, played much better in a regional. You know, they just ran into a buzzsaw. Leukeba has had state champions and just a perennial state tournament team. It was a tough draw for them anyway.
It was. You know, the thing about Cimarron's had so many great baseball teams, and unfortunately they end up with all these guys that they have to face, all these teams have to face in the first round. They always seem to run into a Leedy or a Leukeba Sickles or someone like that that has a great baseball tradition in Class B, and that's always a tough, very tough first-round matchup in state for Cimarron as they trail 7-0 in the fourth inning. We'll keep you up to date on how they do throughout today as well. A lot of scores to keep you up to date on and a lot of baseball being played. Let's get you the starting numbers for the pitcher for the Enid Plainsmen today. Brett Russell, as Enid has won the toss, they are the home team on the scoreboard for this one, and they will face the Sepulpa Chieftains. Brett Russell making his ninth start of the season, his 10th overall appearance. He has one complete game to his credit, a 4-4 record, a 3.53 ERA, and 37 and two-third innings pitched. He has allowed 29 runs. 19 of them have been earned. He's given up 36 hits, 16 walks, but 31 strikeouts. He has also pitched two shutouts. So I don't think you would consider him Enid's ace, but boy, at one point, Bush, he was 1-4, and Coach Brad Gore said this about Brett Russell. He had a lot of tough luck losses where he pitched well, didn't get run support, or things went against him even after he started well. But since then, won the last three times he's been out, and he's got a 4-4 record. And what a big boost it would be if he could come up with another complete game and conserve that Enid bullpen in this game.
Certainly the coaches will be trying to, if they can get a lead, to extend that starting pitcher as long as he can, probably
yep.
different than the regular season, merely because you may have to play as many as three more games.
And the pitching count, the pitchers always have to be mindful of the pitch count rule that is in effect. The more pitches you pitch, the less you are allowed to come back and pitch later on So that's always something to keep an eye on as you go forward. And we are finally underway at about 50 minutes behind schedule. So Brett Russell's first pitch down and away to Wyatt Sellers. If you pitch none to 35 pitches a day, you don't have to rest. 36 to 50, you have to rest one calendar day. 51 to 75, two calendar days, as the next pitch misses outside 2-0. 76 to 100 pitches, three calendar days rest, and 101 or more pitches requires four calendar days rest. 2-0 pitch to Sellers, way outside, ball three, and Brett Russell has come out a little rocky in the very first batter that he's faced in Wyatt Sellers.
And immediately,
right, Coach Brad Gore goes out there.
Saying all three of those pitches have been away, and each one a little further away than the previous pitch. So he's going to make sure he wants this guy to go deep into this game. Let's get off to a good start.
Well, and not only that, I mean, you wonder about, too, the youth of this team. That's what I'm concerned about. Seven freshmen, seven sophomores. A lot of them have not been in situations like this, and this is, for a lot of these guys, the biggest games they've played in their young lives. So you wonder how the nerves are going to be in a situation like this.
And the first inning is so important, just to get a couple of outs or a couple of strikes from the pitcher and just kind of rest your shoulders a little bit and then say, okay, now it's just a game. You don't think about it being the playoffs. Go back into that pitch-by-pitch mindset where you're just trying to get through the next hitter and not think about what the score is or going to be.
So now the conversation is over. Gore goes back to the dugout. Russell resumes his position, and here's the 3-0 pitch to Sellers, and that is more of the Brett Russell we've seen throughout the years. He motors that one in for a strike, 3-1. A beautiful day here in Jinx, 71 degrees. A lot of clouds out in the sky, though. Wind blowing out to right center, 3-1 pitch, and he swings and misses to make it 3-2. Two excellent pitches back-to-back here by Brett Russell to now make the count full on the junior pitcher for the Sepulpa Chieftains, Wyatt Sellers. Kick in the fire from Russell. That one grounded over to first. It's grabbed by Jarnigan. He flips to Russell. It's a close play, but he got him. He got his right foot on the bag, and that takes care of out number one.
And put a star on that one as Colby Jarnigan dove to his right, and then he had to scramble to his knees and underhand the ball. And fortunately, and good for Brett, he knew what to do and was over there to make a close play being out.
Hayden Bullinger, senior right fielder, comes up next. First pitch on the way to him in the dirt, ball one. Kobe Hudson, the left fielder. Colton Troxell's in center. C.J. Arn in right. Mason Scrimmager's on third base. Connor Gore at short. Ambrin Wojcik is on second. Colby Jarnigan at first. Brett Russell, the pitcher. Cross Bay, the catcher. As that one is sliced by Bullinger, foul down the right field line. A couple of Enid parents standing there watching it go over their heads, and it's one ball, one strike.
I'm going to talk to them. They're in the bullpen out there. I hope the line drive kind of clunks right into their face.
1-1.
There's a fence in front of them, by the way.
Yeah, so it won't quite hit them in the actual face. It'll just hit in front of them. 2-1 the count.
You've never seen so much scrambling in your life.
You ever notice that the dads are always away from the wives during these games? Ball three upstairs.
From experience, that's a good thing. You can talk among yourselves and not say a lot. But your wife, you have to be more careful.
And it's three balls and a strike to Hayden Bullinger. The next pitch from Russell, and he got jammed. It's blooped foul down the right field line, and Colby Jarnigan, if he would have made a play on that, that would have been even more impressive. But it was just way too far out of reach for him. 3-2. There is a lot of room and foul ground for everybody to keep an eye on, especially down the first and third base line. That one's sent over to first, and it's fair. Jarnigan picks it up, and he'll take it himself and step on the rubber for the second out. So Colby Jarnigan has been in on both of these first two outs defensively for the Enid Plainsmen. Top of the first, we're underway almost an hour late because of the length of the first game between Jinx and Sand Springs. Jinx won that game 7-5 as Alan Shibley, sophomore shortstop, a left-hander, stands in against the right-handed Brett Russell. The pitch, Brett throws that one high and outside. That is one area of concern, though, Butch. Normally, Brett gets ahead and counts early. He's been behind in every one of them so far.
And after that conference with Coach Gore, he's been pretty darn good.
There's a strike, though, right down the heart of the plate on a fastball, which has been mid to high 80s for both Brett Russell and another guy that's very improved on the Enid pitching staff, and Braden Pierce. 1-1 pitch. And he chased it, couldn't get it, 1-2. Sepulpa down to their last strike in the top of the first from Hinchfield Jenks High School. Shibley regroups, gets back in the box. The 1-2 pitch lined over to Jarnigan, and he makes a diving attempt at it to keep it in the infield, but the ball came out of his glove, and he did all he could to make sure that that ball stayed in the infield. So that'll be an infield hit for Alan Shibley. And Sepulpa seems to love hitting Jarnigan's way early in this one.
He dove to his right, knocked it down, but Brent Russell was late getting over there. He had a chance to make that play as well.
I think he might have thought that that ball was probably going to be caught, and when Jarnigan didn't quite get it, that brings up Gage Williams, freshman catcher. He just was a little bit late on running over there. Williams takes high for ball one. Brett Russell threw 20 pitches on Monday night in the loss to Stillwater. He pitched just one inning. And that wind starts to shutter the flag out in center. 1-0 pitch. Down the middle for a strike. 1-1. We are underway. Enid and Sepulpa, top of the first. Two outs with a runner on first for the Sepulpa Chieftains.
Brett sure seems like his fastball is popping. He can get it around the plate.
1-1, kick and fire. Off-speed pitch in the dirt, 2-1. So Sepulpa had just four district wins in the regular season. They were 4-10 in their district. Enid was 10-4. So Sepulpa's four wins were against the two worst teams in the district in Ponca City and Booker T. Washington. Pickoff try to first base, very close, but he was back in plenty of time. Braden Pierce is the only Enid pitcher that has a pickoff successful this year. But Brett Russell still has a good pickoff move. 2-1, breaking ball, swung on and missed. He swung a tad too early, did Gage Williams, the freshman catcher. So Sepulpa has four different freshmen in their batting lineup, and they've also got a freshman not batting but playing defense and left. 2-2, runner goes, ball low, and Cross Bay picks it up and throws to second. He won't have a play there. So a stolen base for Alan Shibley. The pitch by Russell certainly didn't help, but now Sepulpa's got a runner in scoring position with two outs and the count full to Gage Williams. Three balls, two strikes, the count. Williams steps out and gets some suggestions from his head coach, Steve Irvine, who is coaching over at third. And the pitch on its way. Ball four.
Alan, when you thought he was going to cruise out of this inning, probably a questionable error or a questionable play, hit or error. And then a walk, and now we've got to make a strong pitch against Ethan Williams.
Ethan, junior center fielder on the season, and I think we've got a new runner at first base over there for Sepulpa. We do. It is Garrett Estes, a junior. Garrett doesn't look like a very huge guy. He's clearly on there for his speed. Russell checking the runners, and he lets the pitch fly. Plank hits the outside corner for a strike, 0-1. Two outs. Sepulpa has two runners on, first and second. Top of the first inning from Jenks. I'm John Herrick, along with Butch Lingenfelter. A big thank you to Jance Davis, our producer-engineer, back in our Enid studios. That one looked good to me, but apparently not to the home plate umpire, 1-1. Sepulpa and Enid both have blue in their school colors, so a lot of blue across the Jenks stands right now. Sepulpa more of a light blue. Enid a dark blue. Russell, bothered again by both runners, has to step off the mound and collect himself. Gets back on. 1-1 pitch. That was also another one that was right on the edge, 2-1 of the outside corner. But umpire again called it a ball.
It was very close. Just almost the same spot as strike one, but maybe just a half a ball further out.
2-1 offering. Chased it and missed. 2-2. Russell stuck it right there on the outside corner again, and Ethan Williams going after it came up with nothing but air. Ambrin Wojcik, Mason Scrimmager, Connor Gore due up in the bottom of the first when we get there. 2-2 pitch. Strike three, inning over. Good job by Brett Russell to get out of a jam to start this one. So Sepulpa comes up with no runs, a hit, no errors. They leave two men on. It is nothing-nothing as we head to the bottom of the first. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Imagine, you're reading a book, there's a pretty decent buildup, and you turn the page anxious to see what's next. The end. Don't let your education be like that book that you just threw across the room. With convenient locations in Tonkawa, Enid, and Stillwater, Northern Oklahoma College can be the next chapter in your life. Enrollment for the summer and fall semester is now open, so visit us at noc.edu to learn more. And remember, don't settle for an unfinished story. Turn your future into something epic with Northern Oklahoma College.
Northern Oklahoma College!
Welcome back to Hilarious Hashtags, brought to you by Jack's Outdoor Power Equipment.
Said I needed a new blower. Lady showed me a hair dryer. Hashtag should have gone to Jack's.
Asked to look at trimmers. The guy asked me if I was planning on growing a beard. Hashtag should have gone to Jack's.
Whether it's reliable service or buying the right mower for your yard, remember Jack's Outdoor Power Equipment. Come here first. You won't regret it. 1321 North Van Buren in Enid.
1390 KCRC.
So Wyatt Sellers finishing up his warm-up pitches for Sepulpa. He will face the top of the Enid order as we are just underway. We're in the bottom of the first inning between the Enid Plainsmen and the Sepulpa Chieftains. It'll be Amber Wojcik, sophomore second baseman, followed by Mason Scrimmager, sophomore third baseman, and then Connor Gore, the freshman shortstop. After that, Cross Bay, the senior catcher, Braden Pierce, junior DH, C.J. Arks, senior right fielder, Kobe Hudson, sophomore left fielder, Colby Jarnigan, freshman first baseman, Colton Troxell is ninth in the order. He is the senior center fielder. Sean Holland, the left fielder for Sepulpa, Ethan Williams in center, Hayden Bullinger is in right, Colson Coffey, the third baseman, Alan Shibley at short, Kyle Alcorn's at second base, Cody Rossman at first, Gage Williams, the catcher, and Wyatt Sellers, the right-handed pitcher. So we thought we might see a left-hander for Sepulpa, but not in this game, at least to start. Amber Wojcik will begin the game for Enid, the left-hander, and he takes a strike on the inside corner. Amber has had an excellent season. He leads the team in plate appearances with 124, singles with 31, walks with 19, and ball one thrown to him down low, 1-1. Also the leader in sacrifice bunts with 3, stolen bases with 17, and runs scored with 31. He's averaging .347 with an on-base percentage of .471, 7 runs batted in. Stayed away from that pitch and a good eye as it drifted outside for ball two. 2-1. The count early to Amber Wojcik. A lot of Plainsmen faithful made the trip nearly 2 hours away from Enid to Jinx, and that ball goes off the glove of Williams, rolling on the grass in foul territory as the wind now howls. Boy, you can see people out there just their hair blowing like crazy. I know some people had some papers in front of them that they lost a handle on. And it's 3-1 to Amber Wojcik. And he takes a strike on the inside corner as Wyatt Sellers goes back to his fastball, which works there.
Sellers, not the biggest guy in the world, but he's got a lot of hair. That wind could slow him up. He also wears dark glasses. It's kind of scary.
We're just underway here. And Wojcik slaps it over to second. Routine play, and he's thrown out by Kyle Alcorn. One gone with Mason Scrimmager coming up, sophomore third baseman. And Mason is the team leader in triples. He has 3 of those, 19 runs scored, 17 walks, with 15 runs batted in. He's third on the team in the run batted in category behind Connor Gore, who has 22, and Cross Bay with 23. Scrimmager's batting this season .337. First pitch to him, misses outside from Sellers, 1-0. His on-base percentage, .448. His slugging percentage, .458. 1-0 pitch. Way outside and high, ball two. It's been a little bit of a frustrating season for Mason. Mason, he's dealt with that shoulder strain, but he has fought back from it, and his dad and Coach Gore have told me he is ready to go, and he's ready to pitch if needed. A strike on the outside corner, 2-1 from Wyatt Sellers. Of course, if things go well, you kind of might think you might see him in the very next game if Enid gets victorious in this one. Scrimmager got jammed a little bit. It's a pop fly toward the Enid dugout, and it lands on top of the Enid dugout roof and foul to make it 2-2. The catcher, Gage Williams, took his mask off and threw it, went after the ball, but, of course, ran out of room.
And there, as you mentioned, there is a lot of room on both first and third base.
hear a jinx.
For any defender to go out and make a try to make a play on the ball. 2-2 pitch, and Mason goes down swinging.
It was just a fastball that just put a little extra on it and threw it about knee high. Good pitch.
Connor Gore.
So Connor Gore will have to keep the inning alive. Two outs, bottom of the first. We're scoreless between Enid and Sepulpa. Connor this season, the team leader in doubles with 7. He's tied for that category with Bay with 7 strike from Sellers. He's hitting .337, coming off a rough performance on Monday night against Stillwater where he went 0 for 5. His on-base percentage, .391. He has scored 18 runs, driven in 22. He's been walked 8 times, and he's quickly behind here 0-2. Popping that one foul back to the screen.
Sellers has a, not again, these smaller guys can have the ball get on you because they have that infielder's throwing motion. Makes it quick.
0-2 to Connor. Way high. Ball one. Clearly Sellers tried to get Connors to chase after some high cheese, and Connor didn't fall for it. Connor already a verbal commitment to Oklahoma State University, but still very young, just a freshman. And he was one of those guys that really benefited from that summer baseball team that he played on, coached by his dad, Brad. There's a slow topper rolled by the shortstop, Alan Shibley. Throw to first, just barely got him. It was a low throw, but Cody Rossman put his glove down and made a great play to catch the ground out and end the inning. So a 1-2-3 inning for the Plainsmen in the bottom of the first. We're scoreless as we head to the second. This is Plainsmen Baseball on KCRC.
Have you seen Bob and Janice yet?
The Bickersons? We'll hear them before we see them. I wonder what they'll argue about tonight.
Oh, there they are.
Are they smiling?
Hi, ladies. Janice, dear, can I take your coat?
Oh, thank you, handsome.
You two are acting like newlyweds.
I know. What's your secret? A book? Therapy? Electroshock?
We are in therapy. Every night in our backyard.
Your backyard?
In our new hot spring spa, yeah. Stress and tension melt away. And it's a great place for Bob and I to talk and reconnect. Just the two of us.
Wow, you two will be the talk of the party.
I doubt it. We don't plan on staying long.
Marriage counselor? Liquid therapy? Private rendezvous? What will a hot spring spa be for you?
Get into a hot spring spa at Oakwood Pool & Spa, 929 South Oakwood in Enid. Find them on the web at oakwoodpool.com.
KCRC.
Well, we are starting off the 6A Regional here in Jinx today. We thought we were going to get started last night, but the weather did not allow that to happen. I remember there was a 90% chance of rain in Jinx on a Wednesday, and that's exactly what happened. Sepulpa had two runners get on base in that first inning, but came up empty. Now they have their six-hole hitter, Colson Coffey, up, freshman third baseman. He just fan pitched number one, and he did the same on number two as well. He's quickly behind, thanks to two Brett Russell fastballs, nothing and two the count. No score between Enid and Sepulpa very early. We're in the top of two. 0-2 offering. Did he go around? Yes, he did. So there you go, Butch. As we say, good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Three pitches, three strikes.
One of my favorite sayings, and it's really important for Brett maybe to have a quick inning because he threw 28 pitches in the first inning. Be nice to throw an 8 or 10 pitch inning. Catch up.
Now, that first pitch was a wild one from Brett. Went past Cross Bay, who jumped up and tried to get a glove on it, and it rolled to the wall for ball one. Dimensions of the field here at Jinx. It is 390 in straightaway center. That's about what it is at David Allen Ballpark. 320 down the right field line, and 320 down the left field line as well. 1-0 pitch. Inside corner for a strike to Kyle Alcorn. Alcorn, a junior, he's playing second base. So, of course, much of the infield in the bottom part of the order for Sepulpa. Colson Coffey bats sixth, and he's the third baseman. Alcorn, the second baseman, just popped up into very shallow right center, and Ambrin Wojtek, backpedaling, makes the catch for the second out. Cody Rossman is up next. He's the freshman first baseman for Sepulpa. And you're right, Butch. After that very long top of the first inning, Enid really could use a quick one here from Brett Russell pitching-wise. He's one out away from doing that, and his fastball, there it goes, popping again for a strike, 0-1.
And he's in a hurry. You can tell his confidence is up a little. He quickly gets back on the mound and throws another strike.
That Rossman chases and can't get. 0-2 very quickly here in the top of two. No score between Enid and Sepulpa. 0-2 pitch. And that one he gets a piece of and pops it back to the Enid dugout. Foul. Assistant coach Richie Tarango is able to go over there and grab the foul ball. Brad Gore, the Enid baseball coach, assisted by Richie Tarango, Chris Percival, Denham Sullivan, and Chris Jensen. There's a line drive foul, 0-2. Also like to call them a group of malcontents. If I didn't like all four of those guys much, I wouldn't say that.
They'll have something to say to you if they hear about it.
Oh, they will. All their wives and family are listening. All their wives are going to tell them I just said that. I'm kidding.
No, he's not. I'll make it worse. Anyway.
Strike three looking that time. He went back to his breaking ball to get Cody Rossman, and that takes care of the top of the second. A 1-2-3 inning for Sepulpa. No score with the bottom of the second coming up after these messages. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Nobody does trucks better than Northcutt Chevrolet Buick in Enid. Northcutt is your commercial truck headquarters in the state of Oklahoma, and they are Northwest Oklahoma's only Chevrolet business elite dealer. They've got them all with the best selection of chassis cabs, crew cabs, commercial vans, flatbeds, auto cranes, and service body trucks. If you need a tough truck for a big job, your first stop needs to be Northcutt, where you can take a look at the all-new 2017 Chevy Silverado. You'll find a courteous sales staff with over 175 years of experience that will go above and beyond to help you find the right vehicle. Call 800-749-9536 today or go to northcuttauto.com to see their entire inventory online. Right now, get 2016 model year closeout pricing. Save thousands with huge discounts and big rebates. One-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs with easy finance terms, great selection, and the best prices. Northcutt Chevrolet Buick in Enid, your shortcut to a great deal.
1390 KCRC.
Enid and Sepulpa have played an inning and a half, and it's nothing so far here at Jinx High School. The winner of this regional and the winner of the other seven regionals all go to state. Eight teams make the 6A state tournament. The games will be played at Choctaw. Also, I believe the finals at Bricktown Ballpark. So, a lot of great venues for 6A state tournament baseball. Cross Bay will start off the bottom of the second in a scoreless ball game, taking a strike on an off-speed pitch from Wyatt Sellers. Cross Bay leads the team in so many categories. Batting average at .389, runs batted in at .23, slugging percentage at .537, on-base percentage at .478. He drives this one down the right field line. It was deep, but way foul, and he's quickly behind 0-2. He's been hit by pitch most times of anybody, 6. 37 hits on the year. That leads the team and has 7 doubles. So he has been very active and, of course, a very good defensive catcher headed to Paris Junior College in Texas next season. 0-2 pitch from Sellers, and Bay pokes that into right, and that'll get down for a base hit. The right fielder, Hayden Bullinger, was playing so deep and right that bloop ball really favored Cross Bay for the first hit of the game for the Enid Plainsmen.
Cross got a curveball, but it was down and in, and of all things, he lined it into right field. And as you said, the right fielder Bullinger had backed up after that deep foul ball that allowed him to have that base hit to fall perfectly in front of him on a couple of hops.
Braden Pierce checking in. He will be the junior designated hitter. I'm sure at some point we'll see him pitch in this regional. Don't know when, but we probably will see him. The first pitch on its way, he's going to show bunt and get it down, roll it right over to the third baseman, Coffey, throw to first, and get him. That was the only play he had, so it'll be a 5-3 sacrifice bunt for Braden Pierce, who came into today batting .259, and he just laid down his third sacrifice bunt of the season that moves Cross Bay to second with one out, and C.J. Arndt coming up, senior right fielder, and what a night C.J. had on Monday against Stillwater. He was simply terrific. He went 3 of 5. In fact, he almost hit a home run out of there very early in the ball game. His batting average is .326, and he takes a strike. I remember he got hits in the first three at-bats. He did not get on the last two times, but he did score a run as well.
And all of those hits were hit hard. There wasn't any bleeders in any of them.
0-1 pitch, and he shows bunt, fouls it off, though. That one, he was aiming for, I think, the first base side, and the ball went over towards third. 0-2, and Cross Bay will have to make the jaunt back to second base. Now, sometimes in situations like this, Ryan Stotts will come on and courtesy run for Cross. However, Cross is staying out there at second base. Nothing game so far between Enid and Sepulpa. One out, bottom of second. 0-2 pitch to C.J. Art. Here it is, and Art will pop it up. He makes contact, chasing after it. Cody Rossman will run out of room. The ball lands in the Enid bullpen. Enid baseball coach Brad Gore coaching over at third. Assistant coach Denham Sullivan at first base as usual.
C.J. is just looking for foul off those tough pitches. Try to find one middle heart of the plate. He was driving those pitches hard the other day.
And there is Wyatt Sellers, who comes very close to balking on the mound as he steps off and tries to throw it over to Cross Bay at second, trying to get him to pick him off, but could not. Bay has stolen 9 bases this year, so that's definitely something he can do. He stays put here, though, and CJ pulls it foul, making contact again over towards the Sepulpa dugout. CJ has just 6 runs batted in this year. Boy, it sure would be nice to have a 7th with a base hit. Depending on where he can get the ball in the outfield, that could score across from second base and break this scoreless tie. The pitch. This one, he does get into left, but it's foul. Again, CJ making good contact and making Wyatt Sellers' life awfully difficult.
And those are all breaking balls. And even that one, that was a good pitch. It was down and away, but he still got wrapped around it and very nearly got it fair inside the line at third.
0-2 offering to CJ. Got him swinging. Second strikeout for Wyatt Sellers. I think CJ was sitting on a curveball to see if he could get it again. He did, only that time he chased it up and away outside the zone. That'll bring up Kobe Hudson. Kobe hitting .317 on the year. He had a good night against Stillwater on Monday. He was 2-for-3. He got hit by a pitch and scored a run. 13 runs batted in, 26 hits, 20 of which have been singles. Fans the first pitch, though, 0-1. That was a big swing by Kobe. You could tell he was trying to power that one into the outfield in the gap somewhere.
Sellers is just throwing strike after strike.
0-1 pitch, up and in, 1-1.
Say that again and jinx him. Strike after strike.
He'll have a 3-0 count. You'll still be saying that.
Yeah.
1-1 pitch. That one nowhere close. 2-1. Hey, say it again, Butch.
Strike after strike. I won't be hesitant. I'm not all that superstitious, but we'll take it.
Because those last two pitches, one was so far up near Hudson's face, the other one was down and away. On the 2-1 offering. Up and in again. 3-1.
Strike after strike. Tell me when you want me to stop.
Keep going. Hudson's been walked 15 times this year. This has been a very patient Enid group. As a team, they have drawn a total of 133 walks. You span that over 33 games, that is 4 walks a game. Sellers really taking a long time, and he will fake the throw to second again. 2 outs, bottom of the second inning. Enid and Sepulpa scoreless. Sepulpa got a hit, got 2 runners on in the first, came up empty, then a 1-2-3 inning for them in the top of the second. And Hudson fouls that one off, 3-2. He really had to go after that one to protect the plate.
That was the same pitch that CJ struck out on. Well, it's nothing game here just in the second inning, but yet you feel the tension almost as if it were late innings.
No doubt. In baseball, that's kind of how it works. You never know when the most tense moments are going to be. Sometimes they're not in the late innings. Sometimes they're early. 3-2 pitch, and Hudson with a drive into right. That gets down. It's picked up by Hayden Bollinger. Throw home. It's cut off, and Enid takes a 1-0 lead.
Nice piece of hitting. Kobe got a curveball in, and not unlike what Cross Bay did to eventually score the run, he drove it into right center field. A great base hit and an early RBI for Kobe Hudson.
So that is the 18th run of the season scored by Cross Bay, and for Kobe Hudson, the 14th run driven home by the sophomore. It gives Zenit a 1-0 advantage here in the bottom of the second inning with the 8th hitter in the batting order, Colby Jarnigan, coming up, freshman first baseman. The pitch to Colby. Upstairs, 1-0. Colby Jarnigan this season averaging .292. He has 3 sacrifice bunts, a .457 on base percentage. He has drawn a lot of walks this year, 17 of them. Left-handed Jarnigan facing the right-handed Sellers. The pitch, one hops its way in the dirt, 2-0. That loss, by the way, Butch, at David Allen Ballpark for Enid on Monday, put them at 7-5 on the year at home. On the road, Enid is 15-6. They have been road warriors this season.
So being over here at Jinx doesn't bother them in the least. I don't care about the surroundings.
2-0 offering. And that one driven back to the net, foul. It'll take a really high bounce after it lands right near the Sepulpa dugout. Jarnigan this summer was hitting just .213, but again, he was an eighth grader coming into his freshman year. Summer baseball program's been huge for Enid development, and one of the big players that developed was Colby. 2-1 pitch, and he stayed away from it. He did, I think, bring his bat maybe a quarter of the way around. They say he did not go, 3-1. And Colby, unfortunately, you want to talk about a hard luck loss for a pitcher. He had to take that on Monday night against Stillwater because he was the 17th pitcher. Throw to first base, very close. Hudson gets back in the nick of time. I mean, just before Cody Rossman, the first baseman, could apply the tag.
Sellers has a quick move to first. You want to stay on your toes over there.
Nonetheless, Hudson's taking a pretty big lead from first. Now he's going to go, hit and run, ball back up the middle, gets through for a base hit. Boy, two guys had a shot at it, Alan Shibley and Kyle Alcorn both dove at it. Looked like one of them might get it. That's not what happened, though. Jarnigan with a big single to keep the inning going. Now we go to the 9-spot hitter in Colton Troxel. So for Colby Jarnigan, he just got his 22nd hit of the year and his 18th single. And Troxel will have a word now with his head coach, Brad Gore. 3 hits in this inning for Enid with a run. They take a 1-0 lead on Sepulpa thanks to an RBI single by Kobe Hudson that scores Cross Bay.
And because Hudson was running, both middle infielders were running towards second on the pitch. Even so, it was hard enough right over second base to get through.
Now, Troxel has never really been the greatest hitter. He tries to get a bunt down right in front of home plate. Picked up and thrown wide, but almost off the bag. It was caught, though, by Cody Rossman. And I think Brad Gore is trying to say that ball was foul, but the home plate umpire is saying that it is fair, and it is ruled, and, well, they're going to talk about this here. Let's wait and see what they decide before we go to commercial, because I think they're going to talk about this.
I'd be surprised if they change it.
They don't.
Because he would have immediately killed the ball if he saw the foul.
All right, well, that takes care of the bottom of the first with the score. Enid 1, Sepulpa nothing. We go to the third after this. It's Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
John Bowers, I know that Messer Bowers is an independent insurance agency. What does that really mean?
Ricky, it means that Messer Bowers is free to represent you when you have a claim and that we can help you analyze your exposures to obtain the best coverage available from the entire insurance industry, not just one company. So we can help you get exactly the coverage you need at the lowest cost, and then we can represent you and your interests first. And with over 80 years in business, we have the experience to represent you well.
Sounds like the best of all worlds, John.
Best carriers, best service, best advice, best premiums. Messer Bowers Insurance, 233-1442.
Folds of Honor is on a mission to empower military families by providing educational scholarships to the children and spouses of military servicemen and women killed or disabled while serving our great nation. That's why Security National Bank of Enid is offering the SMB Folds of Honor Visa debit card. It can be used for all your normal purchases and doesn't cost you anything extra. A portion of each purchase will go to make a lasting impact for military families. Request your Security National Bank Folds of Honor Visa debit card today. Strong, safe, secure. That's Security National Bank of Enid. Member FDIC.
KCRC.
K- Enid takes a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the second inning. 1-0 after the RBI single, thanks to Kobe Hudson that scores cross bay from second. And a swing and a miss by Andrew Merrihew, the freshman designated hitter for Sepulpa. Batters 9-1-2 due up for the Sepulpa Chieftains here in the top of the third inning. 0-1 pitch. Chased it and missed again, 0-2. And Brett Russell is now starting to befuddle these Sepulpa batters.
And he's doing it with that hard four-seam fastball.
0-2 pitch, way outside, 1-2. And I think some people might be wondering, Butch, back home, why in the world did Enid bunt there with two strikes? Well, Colton Troxell's a very good pitcher, very good defender, very good closer. Hitting, though, not quite his strong suit. That one way outside, 2-2. He came in averaging 191 and has just 9 hits on the year, and I think about 3 of those have been bunt singles.
That's what I'm saying. He's a better chance bunting.
And foul tips that one into the glove. Strike 3 on Andrew Merrihew. Brett Russell, after that slow start, has settled in and is wheeling and dealing right now. He has 4 strikeouts. He has struck out 4 of the last 5 batters, and we go to the top of the Sepulpa order again with Wyatt Sellers, who grounded out to first. And that one, he lobs foul over towards the Enid dugout. It rolls into the assistant coach, Denham Sullivan's hands. 0-1. Enid 1, Sepulpa 0 in the top of the third. We got a very, very late start to this one. We were supposed to start at about 2 o'clock. We didn't get started until about 2:50 because of the length of the previous game between Jenks and Sand Springs, and Jenks won at 7-5. 0-1 pitch, strike on the inside corner. What a breaking ball that was by Brett. Sellers tried to act like he was going to duck away from it, and sometimes you do that to gain favor with the home plate umpire, and he said, nice try. 0-2 pitch, this one he goes after and drills it, but foul over towards the third base side. They've taken very good care of the field here in Jenks. It's been mowed, it's been wetted down, it's been very well taken care of, and they were able to weather the big storm they had on Wednesday night. That pitch way high and outside, ball one.
I got a picture of this field tarped during the rainstorm, and it was raining hard, but you couldn't tell it by the way it looks now.
1-2 delivery is high and inside, 2-2. Enid 1, Sepulpa 0 here in the 6A regional round of the playoffs from Jenks High School. I'm John Herrick, along with Butch Lingenfelter. Jance Davis is our producer-engineer back in our Enid studios. 2-2 delivery. Hit it off his leg, foul. And the ball rolled in front of home plate, but after he fouled it off, and Sellers will have to walk that off. That definitely looked rather painful.
Yeah, it went down, I think, went off the ground, and then got him. The difference between these hitters is he's top of the lineup. They're pesky. Those are pitches that the bottom of the lineup, as you mentioned, those strikeouts, 2 of those would have been swings and misses the way the other hitters were attacking.
These were the guys that gave Brett Russell some trouble in the first inning. Ooh, a tad low on that one. 3-2. Looked like he might have had it where he needed to have it, as some of the Enid fans let that umpire know. 3-2 pitch. Ball 4. So Brett Russell deals his second walk of the game to his 4 strikeouts with 1 out. Here comes Hayden Bullinger, senior right fielder, right-hander as well. Other scores to keep note of. Broken Arrow leads more, 5-4. Midwest City has tied Edmond Memorial. That game's tied at 3 going into extra innings. Stillwater on top of Bigsby, 1-0 in the 5th. Pickoff try to first base, not back in time. Sellers gets there. Ponca City and Union have gone final. Union won that game earlier today, 11-7. Owosso over Booker T. Washington, 13-6. Bollinger taking a strike after showing bunts. The other games will be monitoring. Choctaw, Putnam City North, and then Norman and Southmore. Russell takes his time and delivers the pitch. Strike. It goes out of the glove of Bay. But Bay picks it up, and the runner at first base, Wyatt Sellers, clearly aware of Cross Bay's reputation as a catcher to throw guys out. He went right back to first, and he goes back there again as the ball is thrown by Russell back over there.
After 4 years of being Enid's catcher and a good one every year, I don't think there's anybody in 6A that is not aware of that quick release and quick fee across bay.
0-2, bouncer over to short. Connor Gore grabs it, steps on second, throws to first, double play, inning over. Nicely done by Connor Gore. That is the ninth time this year that he has turned a double play. 2.5 innings are in the books here from Jinx. It's Enid 1, Sepulpa nothing. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports. And we'll go ahead and keep it right here for the moment. It is 1-0 Enid. And, you know, Bush, that is a big confidence booster, I think, for a guy like Connor Gore, a guy that had, 14 errors in this season coming in. But, again, now he's turned 9 double plays. And as a freshman, what a growth and development we've seen out of the coach's son.
Our infield has been really good. Connor Ambrin and either Mason or Colby, they've turned a lot of double plays. That one was perfect as it bounced right over the bag. And to give Brett Russell credit, he could have stuck his glove up and tried to get it, but he knew it was going to be right toward Connor Gore rushing to second base, and it was a flip to first for an easy DP.
It sure was, and that's always nice to see from a guy like Connor, one thing I feel for Connor is that there is a lot of pressure being a coach's son in any sport. I mean, there is in baseball, and it doesn't matter what the sport it is, if you are the coach's son, it's always hard because if you're a coach and you're too hard on your son, then you don't want to hurt your son's feelings too much because you have to live with him. And then on the other hand, if you take it too easy on your son, parents are going to just be all over you.
It's a balance, and I know I coach my sons and grandsons, and what you do is say, I'm going to get on you on the field as hard or harder than anybody, but off the field, I'm still your dad and you're still my son. And I think that's the relationship that Connor and Brad have already.
You know who you sound like when you said that right there was the now retired former Garber football coach Mark Harmon. His son Trent was a very good football player for him, and he would say the exact same thing. Ambrin Wojcik, we're at the top of the Enid order here to begin the bottom of the third. Wojcik so far 0-1 on the day, but moves ahead in the count 1-0 after that pitch misses from Wyatt Sellers. Enid 1, Sepulpa nothing. Bottom of the third inning, starting up here from Jinx. 1-0 pitch. Inside, 2-0. It almost hit him in the foot.
And Ambrin has been just not as hot. Not that he's been in a slump, but it's not like he was hitting early in the year when he was getting ahead of counts and driving that ball into left field.
But he's still been very steady and consistent. That one just misses off the edge. 3-0 to the left-handed Wojcik from the right-handed throwing Wyatt Sellers. 3-0 pitch. That one a fastball. Perfect. 3-1. And Wojcik had a good night defensively, but he was 1-5 at the plate against Stillwater on Monday. Did score a run, though. 3-1. Booted foul. 3-2. And he scored. He was able to help. I guess he got on base. You wouldn't say he scored the run, but it wasn't an RBI, but he dribbled the ball over to second base, and the second baseman committed an error that scored the run that tied the game that put us in extra innings on Monday.
You see the outfield edging back toward left field after they saw Ambrin's swing on that foul ball.
Yeah, he pulled it last time. I think when he grounded out, he pulled it over to second base. This one, he rifles back up the middle for a base hit to center.
And that's the Ambrin we saw for much of the first part of the year. Deep counts and line drives.
And here comes Mason Scrimmager, sophomore third baseman.
See, this will be an interesting coaching decision. Here, we're only in the third inning with a 1-0 lead. See if Mason's going to bunt here.
Oh, well, before that, Wyatt Sellers.
That's a ball.
It's got to be. Wyatt Sellers has been just teetering on the edge of that the whole time. He has been... He has come close to balking when every time he's been stepping off the base to check the runners, and that time he clearly balks, and that'll put Ambrin Wojcik on second base.
I'm taking self-credit for calling that balk before they called
it. They did. You're right. Well, you also are a former umpire, so you've got a really good eye for that. Enid 1, Sepulpa nothing. Enid's got another run potentially on second base. Scrimmager showing bunt, pulls his bat back, and it's a strike. Fastball from Wyatt Sellers.
One thing, that second inning made Sellers throw a bunch of pitches. He threw 28 pitches of his own in the second inning. Now he's getting into deep counts here in the third. Couple of guys.
O-1 pitch to Scrimmager. This time he gets a bunt down in front of home plate. Sellers better hurry with that throw. He does. It'll go down as a sacrifice, though, for Mason. Imbrun Wojtek goes to third base with one out. Connor Gore comes up. He's 0-1 tonight.
Connor Gore.
See how Sepulpa, they're moving their infield all the way in to try to cut off that runner at third, Imbrun Wojtek, with one out.
I haven't seen Connor try to bunt very much this year. In fact, he does not have a sacrifice hit or bunt. And the pitch to him almost hit him in the head, ball one. Connor had, I think, one of the biggest hits of the season this year when Enid was playing Moore at home. After losing to Moore the night before, he hit a base hit, an RBI double that gave Enid the lead 3-2. But he's been a bit of a downturn recently, 0 for his last 8. And that one grounded right back over to the shortstop, and there's only going to be one play to first base, and that gets Connor. And Wojtek had to stay right on third, and there's two outs.
And it was just hit okay, hit solidly, but right to the shortstop, Shively.
Now then the catcher, number 11.
Cross Bay. And they're going to just walk him. They're not even going to try to pitch to Cross, so that'll be an intentional walk from Wyatt Sellers to Cross Bay. So Cross just got his 12th walk of the year with Braden Pierce coming up next. He did have a sacrifice bunt back in the second, but Braden Pierce also had one of the biggest hits of the year. That RBI double against Bigsby at home, which gave Enid the 4-3 win. Pierce this year hitting .259, an on-base percentage of .412. He has 10 driven in. Comes up in a big spot here with runners on first and third and two outs. A strike thrown to him from Wyatt Sellers. Enid 1, Sepulpa nothing.
Trying to find a way, Braden, to drive that ball into right or right center. That's when he's been most successful.
And there goes the runner from first. It's a hit and run, and Bay will have to go back. Let's see if they try to run Cross again to second.
Maybe get in some type of double steal situation, get picked, we used to call it, where you intentionally get picked off and try to force a couple of throws and allow the runner at third to score. A lot of signals by Brad Gore, but may not be anything on here.
Enid ahead of Sepulpa, 1-0. It'll stay that way. Braden Pierce goes down on 3 pitches, striking out swinging. The third inning comes to a close. It is Enid 1, Sepulpa nothing with the fourth inning happening after this. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Encouragement. Would you like to hear genuine words of encouragement? Where can you hear those words today? For many, the answer is the church. It's here you receive words of encouragement of the never-ending love Jesus has for you, that God does have a plan for your life, and there's a special place reserved for you in the family of God. We are the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Visit this weekend and hear the words of encouragement you've been missing. To find out more, check the Yellow Pages for a Lutheran church near you.
How's that car you're driving right now? Are you ready for a new vehicle? Stewart Nissan in downtown Enid has the perfect car for you. With a wide selection of new Nissans and used vehicles, you may have a hard time finding just one. And when you get a new car from Stewart Nissan, it will last because their service department will keep it like it's always new. If you're driving, keep going to Stewart Nissan and check out the full lot of cars, trucks, and SUVs. Stewart Nissan at 301 North Independence or visit StewartNissanOfEnid.com.
1390 KCRC.
Enid 1, Sepulpa nothing. They got an RBI single out of Toby Hudson that scored Cross Bay from second. And that is the difference in the game right now as we're about to begin the fourth. And then Bush, you know, we talk about the youth of this team. How about the seniors? Cross Bay, Colt McCoy, Colton Troxel, Dakota Cronister, and also C.J. Arndt. 5 of the key pieces, and these guys had never had a winning season in any sport
for
the Enid athletic program, and now they get to enjoy this 22-11 year.
And it's been fun for them. That's great. Those have been, they've been through it good and bad.
Alan Shibley, the batter up for Sepulpa. Batters 3, 4, and 5 due up for the Chieftains here in the top of the fourth. Shibley got a base hit in the first and then came over to steal second, and then he pokes that one up in the air, but foul as it rolls into the dirt backwards, 1-1. Brett Russell, 4 strikeouts today, 2 walks. He has only allowed 1 hit, and that was to the man he's facing now, Alan Shibley. Then he comes back with that off-speed pitch, 1-2. It's hard to decide what's been more dangerous from Brett Russell, Butch, the changeup or the curveball?
That curveball has been really tough. I like he lives on his fastball as he throws one too low and in the dirt to Shibley, making the count 2-2, but 1-2. But that said, that curveball's a strikeout pitch. You'll go to it occasionally. The count is 2-2.
Yeah, it was. You're right. Scoreboard guy was behind you, just like the umpires are behind you earlier. Now it's 3-2. Here's the payoff. Shibley grounds it to second. Wojtek charges, gloves it, throws to first, one away. That was a big hurdle for Brett because Shibley, if you remember, hit a big base hit over to the right side that Jarnigan almost handled and caught for an out. But it was so sharply hit that Jarnigan did all he could to keep it in play. And then after that single, Sepulpa made the inning last longer than it probably should have. Gage Williams walked in his last at-bat. Moves ahead in the count, 1-0 on the first pitch from Russell. Enid 1, Sepulpa nothing. We are in the top of the fourth with one man gone. And that's a slicer into right. Now it's going deeper than it looked like it might go, but C.J. Arn is there near the warning track, catches it for the second out.
The ball in, the wind is blowing, and it's settled down a little bit, but it is blowing straight out to center field. So anything in the air toward the middle of the outfield will get a lift from that wind.
Ethan Williams, junior center fielder, he grounds it right to Wojtek on the first pitch, and he is retired. It's a 1-2-3 inning for Sepulpa in the top of the fourth. Bottom of the fourth will come your way after this. Enid 1, Sepulpa nothing. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Imagine, you're reading a book. There's a pretty decent buildup, and you turn the page anxious to see what's next. The end. Don't let your education be like that book that you just threw across the room. With convenient locations in Tonkawa, Enid, and Stillwater, Northern Oklahoma College can be the next chapter in your life. Enrollment for the summer and fall semester is now open, so visit us at noc.edu to learn more. And remember, don't settle for an unfinished story. Turn your future into something epic with Northern Oklahoma College.
Northern Oklahoma College!
Welcome back to Hilarious Hashtags brought to you by Jack's Outdoor Power Equipment.
Store gave me a square air filter for my mower. Turns out mine uses a round one. Hashtag nothing like Jax.
Tried to get a part for my edger from the store where I bought it. Guy tried to sell me a new one. Hashtag wish I would have went to Jax.
Whether it's reliable service or buying the right mower for your yard, remember Jax Outdoor Power Equipment. Come here first. You won't regret it. 1321 North Van Buren in Enid.
KCRC.
Good defensive inning for the Enid Plainsmen in that top of the fourth. They'll try to get the offense back going in the bottom of the fourth ahead of the Sepulpa Chieftains. 1-0, and they'll send batters 6, 7, and 8 up in the order for the Plainsmen. C.J. Arnt, Kobe Hudson, and Colby Jarnigan. Arnt 0-for-1 on the day with a strikeout swinging, and that was the 12th one of his for a strikeout swinging that he had. He's tied for the most on the team in that category with Kobe Hudson. They each have 12 strikeouts swinging on the year. And he swings at the first pitch and can't get that one either, 0-1.
It was a changeup. You don't see it often, straight changes for first pitch, but that was a good one.
I think Wyatt Sellers has thrown a lot of his fastball, so he's trying to go with other pitches. This one, C.J. pulls right to the third baseman, Colson Coffey. Coffey's throw was high, but not high enough. Cody Rossman was still able to glove it for out number one in the bottom of the fourth. Kobe Hudson is next, sophomore left fielder, who singled the lone run of the game in for Enid. But I'll tell you what, Butch, you and I said this in the pregame, Sepulpa a lot better than they've been the last 2 years. 4 wins 2 years ago, 6 wins last year. Ball one upstairs to Kobe. It almost hit him.
What I see is a lot more presence out on the field. You know, I saw guys out in, I don't want to go into looks, but just looked sloppy.
Strike there, 1-1.
Last year and the year before. This year, this team, I mean, on paper looks sharp, playing really good defense. They got the one strikes out there.
Hudson was a tad late on that swing, though, 1-2. Kobe was hitting just below 300, but now he's over 300, 317. He got his 27th hit of the year. Pitch is high for ball two. 2-2 the count with one out. Enid one, Sepulpa nothing. After this, we go from a Kobe to a Colby. Well, a lot of my friends get so confused by that. I do sometimes. I did it first. Inside 3-2. And they sound so similar, the first names. And they're right in the same, they're right by each other in the batting order, which makes it even harder to differentiate from time to time. 3-2 pitch. Oh, he fouled it off his foot. Ah, that's painful to watch. Kobe's going to have to shake that one off. But he looks like he's all right.
Think about Kobe Hudson. He doesn't show any emotion. You rarely see him look at you. And even, you know, they're pretty, let's see, jokes in the bus. Hudson just kind of wry smiles them all.
Chopper over to third. It gets past the third baseman, Colson Coffey, into left. What a day the sophomore is having. 2-for-2 with an RBI. And both of them singles. And for the Enid Plainsmen, that is their fifth hit of the game. They have out-hit Sepulpa now, 5-1. They lead them on the scoreboard, 1-0. And Colby Jarnigan has one of those five hits. See if he can move Hudson over.
I kind of like this matchup because Sellers likes to throw the ball low fastballs. And that's Jarnigan's strength.
Jarnigan can't get that one. Nothing in one. Coach Brad Gore gives him a ton of signs over there at third base. His hands went all over the place. Throw to first.
Always told me nothing. Usually when you put something on or that I saw coaches, I never was good at stealing signs, but their timing would tell you something might be on. A quick sign might mean something's on. Hudson nearly got picked off, remember?
Yeah, two times in a row he just almost got picked off there, but he got back.
Making it close.
He has stolen 10 bases this year, so he's got speed. It's not like it would be out of the realm of possibility for him to go here. He'll stay, and that's why Sepulpa had Sellers go with a pitch out. The catcher, Gage Williams, stands up and checks the runner, and now Gage is going to go out and talk to his pitcher, Wyatt Sellers, right in front of the mound. Enid ahead, 1-0, and possibly having another threat brewing here at the bottom of the fourth. And the conference between Williams and Sellers is a quick one. He comes back behind home plate. While he did that, Jarnigan went and had a chat with Coach Brad Gore. There's one out in the bottom of the fourth and a man on for Enid. Colby Jarnigan this season hitting .292. The left-hander fouls that one back, 1-2.
I think Kobe missed his pitch then. That's when I thought he might get this at bat, and I thought he might be able to drive it. Just got under it a little, fouled it straight back, which is a good sign.
Be nice to give Enid pitcher Brett Russell some run support here. And that pickoff try, he was a little bit late. He was way slower out of his pickoff move than he normally is. From Hinchfield and Jenks High School, I'm John Herrick, along with Butch Lingenfelter, Jance Davis, our producer-engineer, Class 6A Regional Baseball Playoff Action, featuring the Enid Plainsmen. Ball two thrown up high. You're seeing Wyatt Sellers miss high and away, but I think he's throwing that ball there on purpose because I think he wants to get his catcher in position to possibly throw out Hudson should he think about stealing second base, and there he goes throwing to first again. But Hudson beats it back in time.
Because he's slide-stepping, and what that means is he's rushing his throw to home to try to give his catcher a better chance as well as that outside pitch.
Ball three lofted outside. Now, that one was not nearly as high, but it was definitely outside the strike zone.
That wasn't a pitch-out type.
No.
He was trying to get a strike. He just didn't get it. Stare down between Sellers and Hudson.
Yep, there we've seen plenty of those. And a swing and a miss. Hudson goes down to second base, though, and this time he gets there. The throw was offline from Gage Williams. However, it is a strikeout against Colby Jarnigan. And, you know, Colby had to swing at that because that was definitely in the strike zone.
Number five,
Sellers has just one walk, and it was an intentional walk. So he is not the type of pitcher that's going to walk many people. So for Jarnigan, that is the 10th time this year he has struck out swinging. And Colton Troxell, one of the weaker hitters on Enid's baseball team, 191 is his average. He has three runs batted in. See if he can come up in a big spot. Pitch moves away from him, ball one.
The thing we've done is Sellers is up to 66 pitches here in only the fourth inning. Again, we talked about getting into their bullpen a little.
Nearly a balk again by Sellers. As he kept trying to check on Kobe Hudson. So Hudson has 11 stolen bases. Strike to Troxell that time. 1-1.
Sellers really will want to get Troxell. I don't think he or the coaching staff, Coach Irvin, wants to see Amron Wojtek this inning.
Nope. I don't think you want to see the top of the order from the opposing team in any inning with the score 1-0 Enid. Sellers steps off the mound again, checking over at second with Hudson. You definitely want to avoid the top of the order if you are Sepulpa. Speaking of for them, they will have the 6, 7, and 8 portion of their order. Colson Coffey, Kyle Alcorn, and Cody Rossman do up in the top of the fifth. Troxell chases that ball, foul tips it, but into the glove of Williams for strike two. 1-2 the count. So Enid now down to their last strike in this inning. Now you wonder if Troxell struggles in this at bat, do you possibly think about pinch hitting for him in his next one? I guess it'll depend on the situation.
Yeah, it's possible. Obviously, he's our closer, so you want him in position to do that.
1-2. Good eye by Troxell on that one. That one got high on him, 2-2. And you definitely don't want to wear him out at the plate because he's been one of your best defensemen, making great plays in center field, and he is your closer with 9 saves on the year. 2-2. Troxell smashes this one to center. That could be trouble, and it goes over the head of Ethan Williams to the wall. And Troxell's going to have an RBI double. Williams was playing so far up, and he didn't think Troxell could hit the ball that deep, and he does.
He drove that ball toward that 390 sign, and you called it. Williams was playing shallow, and Cole Troxell got a big piece of that and just pounded it on a deep fly ball over his head.
Very good moment for Colton Troxell, a senior who wants to keep it going here at Enid. He doesn't want to see his season come to an end this week. Came into this tournament hitting 191, and he comes up with a massive hit. Amron Wojtek fans that pitch 0-1. Wojtek 1-for-2 today. And for Troxell, that is the second time he's hit a double this year and his 10th hit of the season. Also, his 4th RBI. 0-1 pitch to Wojtek. Skips into the dirt 1-1. So Enid ups their lead now to 2-0. Baseball's a funny game, isn't it, Bush?
Yeah, we're all sitting here, you know, talking about his coach's batting average, and he pounds one into center field. Just keep working. That's what I say. See a count. Keep fouling pitch off. Get into deep counts, and you always get a little better after you get 2-2.
2-1 now. Wojtek waiting on the pitch from Sellers. Here it is. Wojtek pops it high. It's shallow, but this time Ethan Williams has a better read on it and catches it to end the fourth. But a run with a hit, no errors, and a man left on for Enid, but they increased their lead on Sepulpa to 2-0 with the fifth inning coming up next. This is Plainsman Baseball on KCRC.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Linda.
Bob, welcome back. How was your vacation?
It was fantastic.
Wow, you look wonderful. I don't think I've ever seen you this relaxed.
It was a great escape and the perfect family getaway. Connie and I got some quality time with the kids, and the four of us had a blast.
Of course, we also made some time for just the two of us to unwind together. No stress, no worries, just total relaxation.
That sounds heavenly.
Yeah, who wouldn't want a vacation like that?
So, where did you go, Bob?
Time to share your little secret. Where is this perfect destination? Europe? The islands?
Our backyard.
Your backyard?
Yep, in our brand new hot spring spa. Backyard vacation? Year-round getaway? Family retreat? What will a hot spring spa be for you?
Get into a hot spring spa at Oakwood Pool and Spa, 929 South Oakwood in Enid. Find them on the web at oakwoodpool.com.
1390 KCRC.
Well, right when it looked like Enid was backed up against the wall having trouble, and one of their lesser-known hitters, Colton Troxell, coming into today with a batting average of 191, belts an RBI double to center and increases the lead for Enid over the Sepulpa Chieftains. They lead 2-0. Brett Russell just got another run for support for him, and he will face the 6-7-8 portion of the Sepulpa order. Rifling in a strike for the first pitch. 0-1 to Colson Coffey, the freshman third baseman who was one of Russell's strikeout victims. Back in the second, the 0-1 fouls that one off of a look like the catcher's, look like cross base padding, and then I think it went off the umpire too. 0-2 the count. Winner of this game will play Jenks in the very next contest. Loser will have to play Sand Springs in an elimination game. And strike three called. Colson Coffey has just not been able to have any success at all against Brett Russell. His last at bat was a three-pitch strikeout. This one is as well. And there's one out in the top of the fifth with Kyle Alcorn coming up next. The junior second baseman popped out to Wojtek in his last at bat and a strike thrown to him here. Boy, you're right, Butch. When Russell just gets in a quick move, he just knows, I got to go after this here.
And scoring that extra run, just pitch a little more bounce in your step.
0-1 pitch, low and outside for ball one. Sun really beaming down on the field here at Jenks. A gorgeous day for baseball after it was blanketed with rain last night. That one fouled off of Bay, 1-2.
If you get that extra run, you happen to get a guy on, you don't worry quite as much as we progress into these later innings about that one guy bothering you. Go right at that play guy. Don't let the time run get on.
Russell stares down Kyle Alcorn and gets him to fly into right, but it's a very deep ball. Now it's going in foul territory where nobody can get it. So, I mean, Wojtek, Jarnigan, and Arndt were charging after it, and as hard as they were running, there's no way any one of the three of them could get that baseball. So the count will stay at 1-2 for Kyle Alcorn. 0-1 today, and then you have Cody Rossman, who will come up after him with one out in the top of the fifth, Enid 2, and Sepulpa nothing. RBI double by Colton Troxell and an RBI single by Kobe Hudson have been the difference in the game so far. 1-2 pitch, ball two. That's got to be strike three, though.
Wow.
Cross Bay was sure of it. He was ready to throw that ball to third to Mason.
He wasn't even waiting for the call. The ball was a breaking ball, I guess, just out the outside corner.
And he slaps this one foul to stay alive, 2-2. I don't want to get too hard on this umpire. He's been relatively consistent, but he has had a couple ones that have been head-scratchers. 2-2 pitch. Another one that is driven up in the air and foul. Coach Brad Gore's youngest son, Cal Gore, is here. Cal, of course, Cal wants to be a part of the baseball team anywhere he can, even with all the high school kids. Cal had his first home run the other night on his team that he's on.
Out of the park home run.
2-2 pitch. Put in play over to third. Mason Scrimmager dives after it. He can't get there. So that's a very well-earned single by Kyle Alcorn. And it's just the second hit of the game for Sepulpa. Cal's been over there chasing a lot of those foul balls that Alcorn was fouling off. Cody Rossman, freshman first baseman, is next.
Cody Rossman.
Rossman struck out looking to end the second. Strike from Brett Russell to him. Nothing and one.
Good to see him go right out of his stretch, which he hasn't been in much. Go right back and throw a strike.
Russell taking his time, checking Alcorn at first. He does not have a very big lead. A bunt attempted, but it was skied in the air and rolled foul.
And not the best attempt.
No, it was not. And the one thing you don't ever want to do on a bunt is pop it up in the air, and he popped that thing way higher than you wanted to.
Tells you the coaches think he might be a little overmatched here.
0-2, sails high, 1-2. What do you sometimes call that, Butch, a get-me-over curveball? That thing was way over there.
Yeah, that was a strike. I attempted a strikeout curveball. Didn't work.
That one is more in the strike zone, and he's frozen looking. Tony Rossman has struck out looking twice. Colson Coffey has struck out swinging twice. Andrew Merrihew in the ninth spot of the Sepulpa order. We'll try to keep the top of the fifth going with two outs and Enid ahead of Sepulpa, 2-0. Strike from Russell. Now, you might think, okay, well, Enid's up 2-0 on a team that's 13-20, and that's true, but I'll tell you what, Sepulpa's actually playing much more fundamentally sound baseball under their first-year head coach, Steve Irvine. It's outside 1-1. Also, Sand Springs has a first-year head coach as well. I think early in the season when Enid played them, you know, they were kind of still very young and learning a lot of things about their new head coach. And they seem to be battling back, and they gave Jinx all they could handle in that game earlier today. That one rocketed foul down the third baseline, and it's 1-2 the count.
Boy, and Coach Irvine, that was a bullet on one hop.
And he tried to field it without gloves on.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's risky. And Sepulpa's down to their last strike in the top of the fifth. And he got jammed, but he was able to muscle it up in the air foul. And it lands down in front of the man in the on-deck circle, which happens to be the leadoff man, Wyatt Sellers. So that kind of handcuffs you a little bit, Butch. I mean, you're the starting pitcher, but you're also the leadoff man. Of course, you can stay in as the leadoff man even when you come out of the game as a pitcher, but 1-2, foul it off. You might have hit that off of either the plate or his foot. Either way, Cross Bay, he had his hand on the trigger. He was ready to throw that ball to first and get him out.
Yeah, he was tried to sell that to the umpire. I know that's fair, but the umpire called it immediately. 1-2 count here in this 2-0 game in favor of Enid.
Yep. 1-2 pitch in the dirt, ball 2. Good stop by Cross Bay. That could have, and again, that's another thing where most balls would sometimes get behind the catcher on a pitch that low. Cross Bay does not let that happen.
And his throwing arm's so good, they don't take any chances on a short, blocked ball.
And this time, Andrew Merrihew calls for time. Merrihew struck out to begin the third inning. Here we are in the top of the fifth. Enid 2, Sepulpa nothing. On this beautiful day in Jinx. Try to get you some other 6A scores here. And that's a liner back up the middle. Runners on first and second for Sepulpa with two outs.
And this is where that extra run that you scored back in the bottom of the fourth can still relax the pitcher. You still got to get a couple more hits before you're worried about the game being tied.
And Sepulpa's not one of those teams that's going to hit a lot for power. So giving up a single like that doesn't hurt you too bad. We're at the top of the order again with Wyatt Sellers. Now, Sellers walked in his last at-bat. He's 0-for-1 on the day. The pitch. Way outside, ball 1. So now how much does that bother Brett Russell that now he's got runners on first and second? And how long of a leash do you keep on him if you are Enid baseball coach Brad Gore? 1-0 pitch, low and inside, 2-0. And there is activity in the Enid bullpen.
It is a concern because he's up over 80 pitches, 84 pitches already. And again, keep in mind, he's only a sophomore. It's not like he's going to have the stamina he's going to have in a couple more years. And as these hitters see him, they get a little better.
And Dakota Chronister is the Enid pitcher that is up in the bullpen right now. He's been the main setup guy out of the Enid bullpen. 2-0 pitch. Oh, I don't know what was wrong with that one. That was a fastball that was right on the outside part. 3-0. Looked like it hit the corner, but umpire calls it a ball. Walk here to Sellers. Loads the bases for Hayden Bullinger with two outs. That's exactly what happens. So now the Sepulpa Chieftain crowd, which has been quieted a lot, is coming back to life. Two of Russell's three walks are now against Wyatt Sellers. Now the go-ahead run is on first base. Enid 2, Sepulpa nothing, but tense moments here in the top of the fifth for Hayden Bullinger. He grounded into that 6-3 double play back in the third and also popped out to Colby Jarnigan in the first. This one he swipes foul, 0-1. Actually, didn't pop out to Jarnigan. He grounded out to him, and Jarnigan did a good job fielding it and winning a foot race over to first base to beat Bullinger. 0-1 to Russell. That breaking ball of his can't get there. 1-1.
And that may show, that pitch there showed me maybe a little bit of fatigue. He didn't really pull on that ball like he might if you're stronger.
You do wonder about that. He is, his pitch count getting awfully high now. That one he dribbles foul. Runners, of course, were going on contact. And once again, Sepulpa down to their last strike. But getting that third strike and that third out, never easy.
If the bases weren't loaded, you try to bury a curveball right here, but you're afraid to. You got runner at third.
The 1-2 delivery. High. Throw by Crossbay to first, but back in time is Wyatt Sellers. Good idea by Crossbay. You can possibly buy yourself some time by throwing it down there, but maybe get yourself an out. Get out of the inning. Midwest City has beaten Edmund Memorial 4-3. 2-2 pitch. Ball three. Boy, you've got to throw a strike here. You can't walk a run in. And you wonder how quick is it going to be that Russell, I think if maybe he gives up a hit here, we're looking at possibly seeing Dakota Chronister.
Yeah, I'd say he's down to his maybe last pitch either way.
Even if he gets out of this inning. 3-2 pitch, runners go. Strike three, massive strikeout by Brett Russell. He calmly squared his shoulders and delivered a bullet that Hayden Bullinger could not get. And in a massive spot in this game, Brett Russell gets three strikeouts in that inning. And he has seven now on the game. 2-0 Enid over Sepulpa with the bottom of the fifth due up after this. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Nobody does trucks better than Northcutt Chevrolet Buick in Enid. Northcutt is your commercial truck headquarters in the state of Oklahoma. And they are Northwest Oklahoma's only Chevrolet business elite dealer. They've got them all with the best selection of chassis cabs, crew cabs, commercial vans, flatbeds, auto cranes, and service body trucks. If you need a tough truck for a big job, your first stop needs to be Northcutt, where you can take a look at the all-new 2017 Chevy Silverado. You'll find a courteous sales staff with over 175 years of experience that will go above and beyond to help you find the right vehicle. Call 800-749-9536 today or go to northcuttauto.com to see their entire inventory online. Right now, get 2016 model year closeout pricing. Save thousands with huge discounts and big rebates. One-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs with easy finance terms, great selection, and the best prices. Northcutt Chevrolet Buick in Enid, your shortcut to a great deal.
KCRC.
Well, Butch, you and I just saw something as the inning ended as Brett Russell gets out of a massive jam there at the top of the fifth. With the bases loaded for Sepulpa, Enid gets out of there still with their 2-0 lead intact. And the bottom of the fifth about to start for Enid. They have their 2, 3, and 4 batters due up of Mason Scrimmager, Connor Gore, and Cross Bay, all right-handers, facing the right-handed Wyatt Sellers. Looks like Dakota Chronister will probably come on to relieve Russell in the sixth. At least he's been the guy that's been warming up. Scrimmager's 0-for-1 with a sacrifice bunt in this game. The other two final scores that we have seen go final as of late, that one too far inside from Wyatt Sellers, 1-0. Stillwater leads Bigsby 2-1 in the seventh. Midwest City beat Edmund Memorial today 4-3. And the other final, Southmore 6, Norman 5. 1-0 pitch, bounces in for a ball, 2-0. Right now, Moore is on top of Broken Arrow, 7-5. All right. A lot of close games, as we expected. Ball 3 thrown from Wyatt Sellers. Now, you might think, oh, that's a strike. Well, a similar pitch like we just saw right there from Sellers, Butch. That was not always a strike when Russell threw it, so give credit to the umpire for being consistent. No doubt about that pitch, though. That is a strike over the heart of the plate, 3-1. 2-0 Enid. They're up to bat here in the bottom of the fifth, leading. And Scrimmager will head on down with a walk. So Scrimmager almost got hit by two pitches in the at-bat, that one being one of them. Connor Gore 0 for 2 today, and he is 0 for his last 9.
Now that is shortstop number 8. Connor Gore.
And we're going to have a, I believe, no. There was a guy running out of the Enid dugout. I was going to say, courtesy running for Mason Scrimmager? That'd be strange, considering how fast Mason is. Instead, it's a Sepulpa visit on the mound. I wonder if Wyatt Sellers' day is done. Of course, even if Sepulpa loses this game, they're not going to want to use that much pitching because they're going to be playing in an elimination game later tonight if they can't come back in this one. So they got to think about conserving pitching as well.
And both pitchers, Brett Russell, who we think's out of the game, but and also Wyatt Sellers, we're talking about the pitch count already. They're both over that 75-pitch limit where they can neither pitch tomorrow. So it leaves you, you don't worry about the five innings like we used to. See, after the fifth inning, you bring a guy out because he could pitch the next day after five if you didn't throw more than five, but not now. Now let's see if we choose to sacrifice here, swing away.
I don't know, Butch. I doubt that. Connor Gore does not have a sacrifice bunt or hit on the year. And now Gore is his dad and coach Brad Gore giving him signs at third. Scrimmager going at first base. It's a hit and run. Connor makes contact, but he was behind it, fouling it off onto the street. So Mason's going to head back to first base, but given the fact that he just tried to run there, he might be trying again. Scrimmager has stolen 11 bases on the year.
That was definitely a hit and run because as he was running, he looked into home to see what the swing of Connor Gore would result in.
0-1 pitch off the glove of Gage Williams. But he was able to go over and get it, and it's 1-1. Or did they call that a strike?
That was a call strike.
Really? Okay. Looked pretty outside to me, and it almost was a wild, it almost was either a pass ball or a wild pitch, but Williams got out in front of it. Connor pops it up. And there's miscommunication between Sellers and Rossman, but eventually Sellers catches it. One out. Cross Bay, 1-for-1 with a single. Scored the first run of the game thanks to Kobe Hudson driving him home. Then he was intentionally walked in the third.
And right now with first base, the runner at first, they can't intentionally walk Cross. But it also makes you wonder whether you want to steal here because they may walk him intentionally if you do steal.
Mason staying put, and it's a low pitch blocked by Williams. Now Scrimmager's going to go, and he is out. Boy, that took him a long time to make that call, and I thought Scrimmager might have been able to outrun the tag, but he did not. Scrimmager caught stealing, and now there's two outs with the bases empty in the bottom of the fifth. Enid ahead of Sepulpa, 2-0. But now when you get your leadoff man on in the inning with a walk, yeah, Connor pops up with the first out, but you still feel pretty good about a runner on first. Now the inning looks a lot different, but the base is clear and two down. Bay smokes it, but foul down the right field line.
Yeah, you wonder, Mason's just the ball didn't trickle away far enough from Gage Williams. He made a perfect throw to the shortstop, Shibley, for a tag.
Winner of this game will play Jinx tonight in the winner's bracket. That one up and in for ball two. And the loser will play in an elimination game later tonight against Sand Springs. 2-1 delivery. Good eye again by Cross. Ball three. It is 2-0. Enid clinging to a 2-0 lead. And I think they, well, for a second I thought it might be an intentional walk with the way that Sellers threw that pitch in, but he was just throwing it to home plate and asked for another ball, which he gets from the home plate umpire. The count is 3-1 to Cross Bay. A kick and a fire from Sellers. Ball 4. So Cross Bay has been intentionally walked and then unintentionally walked today. Braden Pierce, 0-for-1 with a sacrifice bunt. And I think we're going to see Ryan Stotts come on and run for Cross Bay. We are.
Catcher's number 14, Ryan Stotts.
Now, Ryan Stotts has scored 4 runs this year as a courtesy runner.
And he might be a threat to steal. He's got a little more speed. Not as experienced a base runner as Cross is, but maybe a little more speed. He's a receiver on the football team as well, so it's another reason he might be faster.
Pierce lays off the first pitch. You can tell he really had his bat back and ready to go after it, but stayed away. 1-0. 2 outs. 2-0 the lead for the Enid Plainsmen. Trying to build on it here. Maybe get an insurance run or two in the bottom of the fifth. Also, that bought Dakota Cronister some more time to get his warm-up pitches ready. That pitch high for ball 2. Sellers has gone more to his changeup and curveball, staying away from his fastball. Enid has, in this ballgame, 5 hits. Sepulpa has 3. But they lead where it matters most on the scoreboard as well, does Enid. 2-0. Strike at the knees to Pierce, 2-1. And Pierce almost, you know, pulled his head back and looked up and went, man, I think he felt like that was one he probably should have swung at.
Yeah.
But it's also a 2-0 count, so that one could go a variety of ways. 2-1 pitch, and that time he does swing and miss. Will the inning keep on going, or will we be done after this? Certainly hope not. It'd be nice to get another insurance run or two. And there goes Stotts. The pitch almost hit Pierce. The throw down to second base gets into center field. Stotts will stay right there. So it is a stolen base for Ryan Stotts. And the throw by Gage Williams, not close. And he's lucky that it went into center field and not into deep center field. And a good job by the center fielder, Ethan Williams, to come up and grab it. So Ryan Stotts now has his second stolen base of the year. So he hasn't been asked to steal all that much. And that one just plunked Braden Pierce. Or did it get by him?
Braden, if the umpire at first said he put his hands up, I think Braden thought, hey, it hit the end of his bat. But no, it hit his hand. And umpire went, no. Anyway, Braden was just momentarily confused. We're going to have a pinch runner.
I think this might be Hayden Priest. Yep, it is. Hayden Priest will come on and run for Braden Pierce. We've got runners on first and second now for the Enid Plainsmen with 2 outs. Braden Pierce gets hit by a pitch. That's actually happened to him quite a bit this year. That's the 5th time. Second most on the team, tied in that category with Colby Jarnigan. Of course, Cross Bay has been hit the most with 6.
Coach Irvine wants to, the umpires confer about whether the ball might have hit the bat.
Yeah,
umpires both agree that it hit in his hand.
I don't blame Steve Irvine for trying that because, obviously, as a coach, you're going to try to appeal in that situation. But here's the thing. I mean, you're with no instant replay, that's, you know, in high school, that's not going to be something you're going to be able to settle on.
Right.
So it's going to just go off what they saw. So
if that guy at second saw it, he would have immediately
called foul ball. You're right. And he did not. So you got Hayden Priest on first, Ryan Stotts at second, and C.J. Arndt coming up to the dish. He's 0-for-2, a ground out to third, and the strikeout swinging.
They've really thrown C.J. a dose of curveballs. Imagine they knew about Stillwater and his hot bat. I'm not sure which of those are on fastballs, but
I think a lot of them were
breaking balls.
I think a lot of them were. Runners are going to be going on contact here with 2 outs in the bottom of the 5th. Pitch low inside, ball 1, 2-0 lead for the Enid Plainsmen. Looking for more. And then you wonder, okay, you go to Dakota Cronister in the 6th, and then maybe you go with Troxel in the 7th. 1-0 pitch, strike, 1-1. Of course, just How many pitches now is Wyatt Sellers at, Butch? It's got to be close to 100.
He's at 93.
Yeah. So Sepulveda's content with knowing, okay, he's going to be done after this game, so we're going to ride him as long as we can. 1-1 pitch. Strike two. That is not a good call by the home plate. Up terrible. In fact, it was so far outside that the catcher, Gage Williams, had to lunge outside the strike zone to get it, and he still called a strike? That's not good. It's 1-2 to C.J. Arndt. But C.J.'s come up with some big hits in clutch situations. This time, he dribbles it up in the air, foul. I haven't seen, honestly, Butch, I haven't seen Wyatt Sellers throw C.J. anything but off-speed pitches here. No fastballs. Everything's been either a curveball or a changeup. And that one was inside. It almost hit C.J. He swung at it and was able to knock it foul.
That was a fastball right in on his hands. And C.J. was well served just to get a bit of the bat on it.
One ball, two strikes to C.J. Mason Scrimmager walked to open up this inning. Connor Gore flew out. Scrimmager was caught stealing for the second out, but then Cross Bay got walked. His courtesy runner, Ryan Stott, stole second. And then Braden Pierce got hit by a pitch, and now Hayden Priest running for him over at first. And C.J. dribbles it into the hole into left. And here comes the throw up from the left fielder, Holland, the throw home over the head of the catcher. It's 3-1 as Stott scores. And he would have scored anyway. So that is a single for C.J. Arndt. He advances to second on the throw, but he gets an RBI and a key one at that that scores Ryan Stott. So it's 3-0 Plainsman with Kobe Hudson coming up.
He got that breaking ball we talked about and just rolled over it and just dribbled it by a diving Shibley. And then on the throw from the third baseman, the cutoff to the catcher, threw it clear to the backstop and allowed both runners to score.
Well, just one.
Excuse me.
It was stopped. But, yeah, here's a strike to Kobe Hudson. And Hudson, boy, talk about a key moment you want him up in. Now, the run rule is just I don't know that we're going to get there, but the run rule is 10 after 5 in these playoff games. It's like it's 10 after 5 in district play. 0-1 pitch to Kobe. Skips to home plate, blocked by Williams, 1-1. So now you have C.J. on second. He advanced there on the throw. Hayden Priest is at third base. 3-0 the lead now for Enid over Sepulveda. And that one nearly smoked Hudson in the head, and he was able to back his way away from that one. 3-1.
It looked like Chris Sale trying to throw to Manny Machado who threw it was behind him.
Well, if it was Chris Sale, he'd have to have a knife and a bunch of jerseys to slash up.
That's right. And about 98 from the left side, too.
That time a strike to Kobe, and it's 3-2.
Now, come on, Kobe, just look for that. Try to find a ball in the middle and drive it like you have.
Well, first base is open. I guess it was, well, correction, I guess it was 2-2. Now it's 3-2. Boy, this is going to be another, I mean, look at what Kobe's done in just his sophomore year. And have him for two more years, that's going to be pretty, it's going to be a pretty awesome weapon for Coach Gore and company. 3-2 pitch to Kobe. Strike three looking. Yeah, it was borderline, but I think it was in the strike zone, probably one he should have swung at. He goes down looking for Wyatt Sellers. That is his fifth strikeout, but the Enid Plainsman get a run with a hit, no errors. They do leave two men on base. And through five innings of play, the Plainsmen lead the Sepulveda Chieftains 3-0. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
At Messer Bowers Insurance, we are independent insurance agents and have been since 1926. We represent top-line national insurers like State Auto Insurance that offer the best in coverage at competitive premiums. But most of all, we represent you, our insured. So, you get the best of all worlds, the best coverage for your home, cars, and business, and an agent that advises you and represents you, not the insurance company. If you have ever experienced that feeling of being alone in the world when you have a claim, you should give us a try. An agent that protects you and won't sing the company song. 90 years strong, Messer Bowers Insurance.
Folds of Honor is on a mission to empower military families by providing educational scholarships to the children and spouses of military servicemen and women killed or disabled while serving our great nation. That's why Security National Bank of Enid is offering the SMB Folds of Honor Visa debit card. It can be used for all your normal purchases and doesn't cost you anything extra. A portion of each purchase will go to make a lasting impact for military families. Request your Security National Bank Folds of Honor Visa debit card today. Strong, safe, secure. That's Security National Bank of Enid. Member FDIC.
1390 KCRC.
Well, Butch, we suspected that Brett Russell's day was done as the pitcher for the Enid Plainsmen, and you are correct. That is exactly what happened. Brett finishes the day pitching awfully hard. He goes five innings. He pitched a very good outing. Gave up just three hits, no runs, three walks, but he had seven strikeouts. I remember three of those walks, two of those three walks were to the same guy, the leadoff hitter Wyatt Sellers. Now Dakota Chronister, one of the five Enid seniors on this squad, will come in and relief pitch for the Plainsmen. He has an ERA of 2.19. He'll be making his 14th appearance of the season. A 2-1 record, 16 innings pitched. He's allowed nine runs, five of them earned, 12 walks, 11 strikeouts. Left-handed Alan Shibley will be the first guy he faces, and the first pitch from Chronister goes off the glove of Cross Bay for ball one. We are in the top of the sixth. Enid 3, Sepulpa nothing.
I mentioned Brett Russell threw 92 pitches, 48 strikes, 44 balls.
2-0 pitch now after that one. And you know, the other thing, Butch, is that a lot of those balls that he threw were very early in the game in the first and second innings, and after that, he really settled down nicely. 2-0 pitch. Blankets the outside corner. Are they going to say not? Yes. Golly, that looked good. 3-0.
Be a hair off the plate or down.
And Dakota with that sidearm delivery. A strike that time. 3-1. It's nice to have pitchers that throw not just different pitches with different speeds, but also a different throwing motion. And Chronister just walked Shibley. But that's been one of the problems for Chronister. He'd like to see the walk total come down, and he just walked the leadoff man for Sepulpa in the top of the sixth with Gage Williams coming up. Williams 0-for-1 in this game. He drew the first walk from Brett Russell back in the first.
He's got the motion and the movement to get a ground ball here if he can get a strike.
And he hits him. Not a good start for Dakota Chronister at all. He walks the first batter and then hits the second one. Just like that, Sepulpa's got runners on first and second with nobody out. And that will immediately bring Enid baseball coach Brad Gore out to the hill. He'll meet up there with Cross Bay, and I think he might bring the entire infield in for this discussion. And he does not have anybody else warming up in the bullpen. So
that's likely going to be either he'd like for to get at least an out or two from Dakota just to bridge that gap into Troxel to close.
Now, in case you're wondering about the pitching rule, let's say Troxel comes in and throws, you know, only, let's say he throws less than, you know, 20 pitches in an outing as a closer, well, then he can pitch the next game. It's all about a calendar day's rest. And if he throws anybody that throws anywhere between 36 pitches and more will have to serve at least a calendar day's rest. That's how it works now. Ethan Williams comes up. He tries to show bunt and whiffs badly, 0-1. So Williams tonight, 0-for-2.
He's definitely bunting for a hit there. We might say sacrifice him, but he was trying to lay one down the third baseline and get on himself.
3-0 the lead for the Enid Plainsmen, top of the sixth, but Sepulpa has their first two guys on. And Chronister the pitch, gets through the leg of Bay.
Oh,
second and third with nobody out as the runners move up.
That was a miss-up because Connor Gore had broke towards second, and Chronister went ahead and threw the ball. I don't think Frost thought the pitch was coming to him. Almost would give a pass ball on that.
Yeah, you're probably right. That was definitely not something that Frost looked like he was ready for. That time he was ready for it, but it was too far inside for ball two. Okay, with the score 3-0, now the tying run is at the plate with Ethan Williams. 2-1 offering. Good stop by Cross that time, and now it's 3-1. Out comes Brad Gore for another discussion. Does he go to Colton Troxell already? That's the big question. I don't know that you do that this early, but
sure don't want to.
You don't want to, but my goodness, Dakota Chronister is just so off his game right now, and he's gone. He has been pulled from the ball game. So looks like in the way Cross looks like the way he's moving, it looks like he's giving the ball.
I believe
to Wojtek, yeah. So Andrew Wojtek will be the next pitcher for the Enid Plainsmen. 3-0, the lead for Enid, but Sepulpa threatening here in the top of the sixth. It's a pitching change. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Sin. It's not just doing bad things, it's a broken relationship with God the Father. You and I have both sinned and fall short of God's glory. We are the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We won't make you rich or promise a perfect life, nor heal your bruised inner child, but we will show you the real Jesus, the Son of God in flesh, who paid for the world's sins on the cross. Yours too. In Him you have peace with God. To find out more, check the yellow pages for a Lutheran church near you.
How's that car you're driving right now? Are you ready for a new vehicle? Stewart Nissan in downtown Enid has the perfect car for you. With a wide selection of new Nissans and used vehicles, you may have a hard time finding just one. And when you get a new car from Stewart Nissan, it will last because their service department will keep it like it's always new. If you're driving, keep going to Stewart Nissan and check out the full lot of cars, trucks, and SUVs. Stewart Nissan at 301 North Independence or visit StewartNissanOfEnid.com.
KCRC.
All right, so the Enid Plainsmen are on pitcher number 3 here in the first game of the 6A Regional. They have now gone to Ambrin Wojtek. So the count is 3-1, by the way, to Ethan Williams. And since Ambrin Wojtek has to come from second base to pitch, Brennan Vickers has to come off the bench and play second base in Ambrin's spot. Wojtek is a pitcher this year, a 3.68 ERA.
Number 6, Ambrin Wojtek.
With a 2-1 record, he'll be making his 5th appearance on the season. He has pitched just 13 1/3 total innings, 7 walks, 7 strikeouts. 3-1 the count to Ethan Williams. So if this is a walk here, it's going to be charged to Chronister, but it's a pop fly. On the very first pitch, at the very shallow left, and Connor Gore drops the ball. And that's going to score a run. Throw back over to first base, and Enid's got this, got him in a rundown. There's one tag, throw it to second. All kinds of guys are in a rundown here. Throw to third, and the lead runner is tagged out, but the runner at first is deemed safe. That was a lot of stuff happening on that one play.
Guess who tagged the runner out? It was left fielder
Kobe Hudson.
Kobe Hudson
had to come all the way from left field to cover third base.
One run scores.
That's from Alan Shibley. Makes it 3-1, and that'll go down as an error on Connor Gore. So Ethan Williams moves to first base. Count is now 0-1 to Colson Coffey. And then Gage Williams got thrown out. So after all that, there's one out and a runner on first. And a liner back up the middle for a base hit. Butch, I don't like the way this is going. This is not a promising top of the sixth here for Enid. You've already had to go to your third pitcher of the game.
Still only have one out.
Tying
run at first base. It's 3-1 game. But Alcorn has got a hit, but guys after him, they got a
struggled.
Chance.
Yep. But Andrew Merrihew has one as well. He'd be who we'd see later in the 9 spot. Kyle Alcorn batting 7th in the order. Ball from Wojtek, 1-0 the count. Well, in Connor's defense, that the wind was kind of wreaking havoc with the ball. But I really don't know whose play was that. I mean, probably a much more astute baseball fan than me would make that call. That one is a high fly ball into foul territory. Colby Jarnigan runs into Wojtek, but Jarnigan makes the catch.
They're just trying to make an out, and to their credit, neither one of them, Wojtek or Jarnigan, and you know those guys, neither one of them is going to back off because they know somebody's got it. But fortunately, Jarnigan got it in foul territory, second out.
And they ran into each other, but it's not like they ran into each other extremely hard. And because they were able to run into, they ran into each other, Colson Coffey tagged up from first and went to second. Or no, correction. Williams was already on second. Coffey's on first. I think with the, looks like we have another runner at first now, running for Sepulpa.
Where's that first baseman, number 22, Cody Rossman?
Cody Rossman is next, and remember, he has struck out looking twice, but that was against Brett Russell. This is against Amron Wojtek. Throw back to second. It's a fake. Wojtek fakes it like it's going to go into center field. Sepulpa does not fall for that. Enid does that trick where they all dive and act like the ball's in center field. One of these days, you hope that that's not for real.
That's right. Yeah.
3-1. Sepulpa got a run off of a high fly ball that bounced over Connor Gore's head. Ball one thrown by Wojtek to Cody Rossman. There's two outs, though, and if you're Enid, given all the things that have gone wrong in this inning and you can get out of this, only allowing one run in the top of the sixth, you've got to feel great about that. And here's who's due up in the bottom of the sixth for the Plainsmen. Swing and a miss that time, 1-1. It's their 8-9-1 batters of Colby Jarnigan, Colton Troxell, and then Amron Wojtek.
And that base running gaffe by Sepulpa may pay off and saving us a run here.
1-1 pitch. Strike down the middle. Wojtek with a beautiful fastball. And these, you know, you got to remember, man, that's a pretty gutsy move by Brad Gore, taking a senior pitcher out, putting him in for a sophomore. But these younger kids have been the kids that Brad Gore has groomed a lot, especially over the summer. Feels comfortable putting the ball in their hands. That one dribbled foul. They'll stay 1-2. He reached out. Rossman did everything he could just to stay alive in that count.
Hammer's just throwing fastball. I know Rossman has struggled in the two previous at-bats. He's just got to keep throwing fastballs and try to get him to whiff one.
One, two, pitch. That one poked in the air, and it's down for a base hit. C.J. Arndt picks it up and throws over to second base, but that scores a run, and it is 3-2, Enid.
Jeez.
That scores Ethan Williams. And that'll go down as an unearned run against Amron Wojtek. The other run that scored is charged to Chronister.
Now then, the cheese is binding because on the play, Coffey went all the way to third.
But it was a good job by C.J. Arndt to get the ball in quickly. Now the tying run is on third for Andrew Merrihew. Left-handed nine-hole hitter. A strike from Amron Wojtek, 0-1. Enid 3, Sepulpa 2 now. Right when you thought it was enough to get some insurance runs there and move ahead, Sepulpa has come back to make things difficult on the Plainsmen here in the top of the sixth. 0-1 pitch. That one hit hard into left, but I think it's going to go foul. It will. Hudson would have needed a miracle just to get there in time. So once again, Sepulpa is down to their last strike in the inning. And I would think that even though you probably don't want to have to go to your closer, Colton Troxell, early in this regional, you're going to probably have to, given the state of this game now, going into the seventh. We'll see.
Just want Wojtek to get this last out some way here in the sixth.
0-2 pitch. And he bloops it into left again. It's going foul. Scrimmager going over there, and he almost made an unbelievable over-the-shoulder catch in foul territory. Boy, Sepulpa's just hitting these foul balls just out of the reach of Plainsmen defenders.
They're just reaching out and slapping at it. That's what Rassman did to get that single into right center field. He just reached his hand out and wristed it. That's what Merriman has done here. The class at bat as Coach Gore comes out to the mound, and he's going to go right to Colt Troxell right now.
I think he almost pushed, doesn't have much of a choice. Troxell's been called in from center field. 3-2, the lead for Enid against Sepulpa. With two outs in the top of the sixth, and the Chieftains have runners on first and third. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTB Sports.
Imagine, you're reading a book, there's a pretty decent buildup, and you turn the page anxious to see what's next. The end. Don't let your education be like that book that you just threw across the room. With convenient locations in Tonkawa, Enid, and Stillwater, Northern Oklahoma College can be the next chapter in your life. Enrollment for the summer and fall semester is now open, so visit us at noc.edu to learn more. And remember, don't settle for an unfinished story. Turn your future into something epic with Northern Oklahoma College.
Northern Oklahoma College!
Welcome back to Hilarious Hashtags, brought to you by Jack's Outdoor Power Equipment.
Said I needed a new blower. Lady showed me a hair dryer. Hashtag should have gone to Jack's.
Asked to look at trimmers. The guy asked me if I was planning on growing a beard. Hashtag should have gone to Jack's.
Whether it's reliable service or buying the right mower for your yard, remember Jack's Outdoor Power Equipment. Come here first. You won't regret it. 1321 North Van Buren in Enid.
1390 KCRC.
Well, now, Enid Plainsman has had to go a little bit off script here with their pitching. Colt Troxell is now going to come in. He might have to get a four-out save for the Plainsman to try to preserve this victory, but it's going to be hard. They had a 3-0 lead, and now Sepulpa's got the tying run on third with the score 3-2, Enid. So Ambrin Wojtek has been relieved. He pitched two-thirds of an inning after Dakota Cronister came in to lead off the sixth. And hit the second batter he faced after walking the first one. And Alan Shibley came home to score on an unearned run on an error that was committed by Connor Gore on a pop fly ball. Then after that, a single, RBI single by Cody Rossman, is able to score Williamson. There was a base running error where Gage Williams was thrown out at third. And the count is 0-2 to Andrew Merrihue with two outs here. In the top of the sixth, Enid will have a chance to get some insurance runs in the bottom of the sixth before we head to the seventh. Andrew Merrihue is 1-for-2 today. Troxell just needs to throw one strike that's not a foul ball, and this inning is over. Let's see if that happens here. 0-2 pitch, lined out foul. Boy, Sepulpa's hitters are just a pest.
They have got better and better. Some of these pitches early in the game against Brett Russell, they were whiffing at. Now they're getting a piece.
Troxell's record is 1-1, a 2.37 ERA, 9 saves. And he went around, strike three! Massive strikeout there by Colton Troxell, one that Enid badly, badly needed, and they get it with the inning coming to a close in the top of the sixth. They maintain their one-run advantage, 3-2 over Sepulpa. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Have you seen Bob and Janice yet?
The Bickersons? We'll hear them before we see them. I wonder what they'll argue about tonight.
Oh, there they are.
Are they smiling?
Hi, ladies. Janice, dear, can I take your coat?
Oh, thank you, handsome.
You two are acting like newlyweds.
I know. What's your secret? A book? Therapy? Electroshock?
We are in therapy. Every night in our backyard.
Your backyard?
In our new hot spring spa, yeah. Stress and tension melt away. And it's a great place for Bob and I to talk and reconnect. Just the two of us.
Wow, you two will be the talk of the party.
I doubt it. We don't plan on staying long.
Marriage counselor? Liquid therapy? Private rendezvous? What will a hot spring spa be for you?
Get into a hot spring spa at Oakwood Pool and Spa, 929 South Oakwood in Enid. Find them on the web at oakwoodpool.com.
KCRC.
Here we are back at Sepulpa against Sepulpa and Enid here at Jinx. Wyatt Sellers has been pulled from the ball game. So he just pitched six innings for the Sepulpa Chieftains. Six hits he gave up, three runs, all of which were earned. He had three walks and five strikeouts. Now, one of those walks was an intentional one. So Garrett Estes is now coming on to relieve him. Estes is a left-hander. And we mentioned it at the pregame, Enid has struggled at times this season facing left-handed pitching. And that's exactly what they're going to have to do here in this one. 3-2, Enid leads it. We're in the bottom of the sixth, so ideally if you're a Plainsman fan, you're hoping that Enid gets maybe an insurance run or two, and then Troxel can slam the door in the seventh. Ambert Wojcik pitched two-thirds of an inning in that sixth. He gave up one run. It was not an earned run, though. He did allow two hits. Did not have a walk or a strikeout. Dakota Cronister started off that inning and faced two batters, hit one of them and walked another and allowed one run to score. And Colton Troxel was able to finish off that inning by getting a big strikeout on Andrew Merrihew. Now Enid comes up with their 8-9-1 portion of Colby Jarnigan, Colton Troxel, and then Ambert Wojcik back to the top again. Ball one is thrown to Jarnigan. By the way, the defensive changes. Brennan Vickers is now in left field. Kobe Hudson is in center. Colton Troxel is now pitching. And Ambert Wojcik goes back to second after his relief pitching duty. A check swing. Well, they're going to say Jarnigan went around. 1-1. Colby Jarnigan today, 1-for-2, a single and a strikeout. Rocking the fire from Estes. That's a grounder through the hole between first and second. Boy, how about the bottom of the Enid lineup today? That is hit number 7 for the Plainsmen in this game. Colby Hudson is 2-for-3, and Colby Jarnigan is 2-for-3 as well. Hudson has scored a run and driven one home, and now Jarnigan gets on. Troxel comes up.
Big double.
Big RBI double.
And he's up now.
Now, given what Troxel did back in the fourth, do you possibly maybe think about having him swing here or bunt a runner over?
I'm going to go with bunt.
Yeah, because they're not going to play. Ethan Williams is not going to play that deep again, and Troxel does bunt right in front of home plate and throw to first, almost a bunt single, but he's thrown out.
Nice job by Troxel. Bunted the ball right on the ground between the pitcher and catcher. Got Jarnigan to second. Give Wojcik a chance to drive him in.
So for Colton Troxel, that is his second sacrifice bunt of the season. The score is 3-2 Enid. They are trying to possibly get an insurance run or two here in the bottom of the sixth and try to get out of this with a win and face Jinx later tonight, in the very which would be in the very next game. Ball one up high to Ambert Wojcik, who is 1-for-3 today. A single, a fly out to center, a ground out to second. And also, even though he didn't finish the inning in the sixth, I thought his two-thirds of an inning that he did pitch were good, especially after he was dealt a tough hand coming in. Ball two out high and away.
Now, so, thanks to that defensive play where we got the runner who ran at first got pushed off by the runner who got a on the error. It was a big play. Good throws by several guys, although it was fumbled.
2-0 pitch, breaking ball strike from Garrett Estes.
Woo.
That had some movement on it, didn't it?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, don't swing at that one. You weren't going to do anything with it anyway. Big rainbow curveball.
3-2 Enid, runner on second is Colby Jarnigan. He singled and was sacrificed over there by Colton Troxel. That one gets through the legs of the catcher, Gage Williams, and I think Jarnigan might have missed an opportunity because Ambert Wojcik, it looked like, was telling him, hey, go.
That ball was
three.
Right back behind the catcher. You just couldn't tell. Kobe couldn't tell how deep it was, whether he could make it or not.
Plus, I think Brad Gore said, hey, why don't you stay put? It's probably better to err on the side of caution. Ball four thrown just a little bit outside. He went back to that curveball, only instead of hitting the inside quarter, he missed the outer half. And that walks Ambert Wojcik.
Number two, Mason Scrimmager.
Mason Scrimmager is next. He is 0-4-1 today. A strikeout, but he does have a sacrifice bunt and a walk. So Mason with a chance to come up big here in the bottom of the sixth.
Enid ahead 3-2, but now they've got runners on first and second with just one out. Connor Gore in the on-deck circle. Strike that time from Garrett Estes, 0-1.
I see Basin get that. He likes to hit the ball hard in the gaps. Maybe get a fastball inside third and shoot it over shortstop.
Throw to second base. Jarnigan was ready for it. Slid back in time. See if we can get some other 6A scores from the playoffs updated for you. Now Stillwater was in locked in a big, tight battle with Bigsby. Enid had two wins over Bigsby this year, two losses to Stillwater. 0-1 pitch. Lofted down and away to Scrimmager, evening up the count from Garrett Estes. All right, so Broken Arrow comes back and beats Moore 8-7. And Bigsby beats Stillwater 3-2 after they were down 2-1. Wow, a lot of one-run games here in the regional. 1-1 pitch, and Scrimmager fouls it off.
Mason got the fastball that we wanted, but it was up in the zone and tailed away from him. He just needs to stay back if he gets that pitch again and try to smack it in the right.
Southmore 6-5 over Norman. So just the one run. Midwest City 4-3 over Edmond Memorial. All one run games. And we're in a one run game right here. 3-2 Enid in the bottom of the sixth. Good eye by Mason. That was a pitch out to Gage Williams, 2-2, the catcher, who then stood up and was ready to throw the ball possibly over and try to get Colby Jarnigan or Ambrin Wojtek. 3-2 Enid, one out, bottom of the sixth. Kicking the fire from Estes, and again a blast foul by Scrimmager. He continues to just battle away against Garrett Estes.
That was a better swing. That ball was more in. Had a good swing, just a hair late on it.
Another tense moment. Feels like these last couple of innings have taken a longer time because everybody's, a lot of runners have been getting on base. Scrimmager grounds it off the leg of Kyle Alcorn, and Scrimmager, is he thrown out? Yes. So Alcorn dodges a bullet because his shortstop, Alan Shibley, saves the day, picks it up, and throws him out.
It went right directly to Shibley, who really made a great play sliding to his left. That ball, he was trying to turn two with it, bounced off his knee. Kind of a bad break for Enid. That could have easily gone in the outfield.
That could have. So it's a favorable bounce for Sepulpa, and two outs with Connor Gore coming up. Connor has had a very rough day, 0-3, and an error defensively. But he can come up big here with a base hit in the sixth. A base hit here will score two and give Enid some much-needed breathing room. First pitch skies it in the air to right. It's in foul territory, and it is going to land foul. Connor dodges a big bullet there because Alcorn, Bullinger, and Rossman were all going after it. Landed right in front of him. Nothing and won the count.
Guys are struggling a little bit to play. I always thought that many times they've become a little defensive and waiting for the ball to come to them instead of being in attack mode.
And that was, you know, that stretch where Connor really struggled in the Gladys Winters tournament, 0-13. He faced a lot of left-handed pitching, and he's facing a left-hander here. On second base, it is Wojtek. On third, Jarnigan. That pitch nowhere close to the strike zone, 1-1. Connor wisely staying away from it. There, I don't think there's an empty seat in this place. My gosh, everybody. Of course, a lot of the Jinx fans are sticking around. They, you know, they are watching eagerly to see who they will face in the very next game. Will it be Enid or Sepulpa? 1-1 to Connor. Connor, again, behind it. He's just been behind a lot of these pitches today. 1-2.
Right, just to, again, feeling your way a little bit. Now with two strikes, anything's possible. Let's try to put it in play, make him kick another one.
3-2, the lead for Enid. With two runners on base on second and third, a base hit could score two. Here it is. And Connor lines it, but foul. Boy, if that would have been fair, though, right fielder Hayden Bullinger wouldn't have had much of a chance at that.
That was a better look. That ball was away, and he stayed back on it better than he had before.
If he can stay alive, you got Cross Bay next with two outs. Cross has his catcher gear on in case Connor's retired. Way outside, ball two, and a good stop there by Gage Williams, the catcher. He doesn't make that stop. That ball could be rolling to the wall, and we're talking about big problems here. So the next game was supposed to start at 4:30. It's now close to 5, which means we're not going to be starting until close to 5:30, at least, depending on how long this game takes. Here's the 2-2 to Connor. Oh, that looked awfully low, but they're going to call strike three looking. I don't know about that. It ends the inning, and Coach Brad Gores looked like he might have a word with that home plate umpire as he's heading off to the dugout. But the lead remains a run for the Enid Plainsmen. 3-2 over the Sepulpa Chieftains heading into the seventh. This is Plainsmen Baseball from CTV Sports.
Nobody does trucks better than Northcutt Chevrolet Buick in Enid. Northcutt is your commercial truck headquarters in the state of Oklahoma, and they are Northwest Oklahoma's only Chevrolet business elite dealer. They've got them all with the best selection of chassis cabs, crew cabs, commercial vans, flatbeds, auto cranes, and service body trucks. If you need a tough truck for a big job, your first stop needs to be Northcutt, where you can take a look at the all-new 2017 Chevy Silverado. You'll find a courteous sales staff with over 175 years of experience that will go above and beyond to help you find the right vehicle. Call 800-749-9536 today or go to northcuttauto.com to see their entire inventory online. Right now, get 2016 model year closeout pricing. Save thousands with huge discounts and big rebates. One-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs with easy finance terms, great selection, and the best prices. Northcutt Chevrolet Buick and Enid, your shortcut to a great deal.
1390 KCRC.
Well, the Enid Plainsmen have been relying on Colton Troxell to get saves a lot this year, and they'll need him to come up with another one in the seventh. The top of the seventh about to start here from Jakes. 3-2 is your score. Advantage the Enid Plainsmen, but they led 3-0 and looked like they were on their way to possibly moving into a decisive victory. But Sepulpa, despite being 13-20 on the year, they do not quit easily. And Colton Troxell will face Wyatt Sellers, and a strike thrown to Wyatt. Wyatt started out as the pitcher today for Sepulpa, pitched 6 innings. He gave up those 3 runs, had 5 strikeouts and 3 walks, and he's quickly behind 0-2 to Troxell. So you're just saying if you're Enid, you get 3 more outs, and you face Jenks in the very next game. And you're probably looking at possibly a start for Mason Scrimmager on the mound. 0-2 pitch, ball one. The bad news, though, is that you had to use 4 pitchers when you were hoping maybe you'd use 1 or 2 in the first game, but it hasn't worked out that way. 1-2 pitch. That one driven into left, might be playable. Hudson charging, getting up underneath it. Catch, 1 out.
Ooh, and that slid out clear to the end of his glove. That's actually Brennan.
Oh, Brennan Vickers.
Is that Vickers out there?
Yes, that is Brennan Vickers in left. Kobe Hudson is in center because Wojtek had to come out and pitch. Vickers played second. Vickers is now in left. Hudson moved to center. So now it's Hayden Bullinger, who is 0-3. And you're hoping he goes 0-4 if you're eating it. It's just fastball from Troxell. Loads down and away. 1-0 the count.
Yeah, I like Shibley's. I think their best hitter by far. Like to see him with nobody on.
And that might be the case as that one slapped over to Wojtek at second. 2 down. So Enid 1 out away from victory here in regional round. And it hasn't been easy, but you don't care, especially with the way the regionals went for Enid last year. Even if you win today and lose in the next game, you're guaranteed to come back tomorrow, which is all you can really ask for. Enid was done on the first day last year. They don't want that happening again. Alan Shibley, well, to your point, Butch, 1-for-2, a walk and a run scored, and he slaps it over to first, grabbed by Jarnigan, but Troxell does not get over there in time. Well, I think that Troxell was thinking that that was going to be a hit that Wojtek was going to pick up. And because Jarnigan got it, Troxell needed to run over to first, and he did not get there in time.
That's twice in this game that's happened.
Williams.
He thought the ball was hit harder. He just didn't get over in time.
That'll go down as a hit for Sepulpa. They're sixth. They had just one hit going into the fifth, but they've come alive since the fifth. Now the tying run is on first. Grounder up the middle. It almost takes Troxel's leg off into center field. And going over to third base is Shibley. It's bobbled by Hudson in center field, but he gets it back quickly. So now, after two very quick outs by Enid, Sepulpa has the tying run on third, the go-ahead run on first with two outs here in the top of the seventh with Ethan Williams coming up. Now, Williams is 0-for-3, a run scored, left-hander, facing the right-handed Troxel. The pitch, what was wrong with that one? Ball one.
Maybe a hair low.
Oh, man. How about a half a hair?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's any... That looked awfully good from Troxel. Throw to first base. Oh, it was wide almost. But Jarnigan goes out and grabs it. If that was wide of Jarnigan, we have a tie game right now. 3-2 Enid. But Sepulpa again threatening as they have in the fifth, sixth, and now here in the seventh. The pitch... A drive into left field. There goes Hudson and Vickers back there. And the ball is over the head and off the wall. One run is in. And two runs are going to come home. And Sepulpa's got the lead.
Wow. Just a fastball inside third. And he drove it right in front of that 360 sign in left center field.
Good Alan Shibley and Gage Williams score. And it's 4-3 Chieftains. So now Ina's going to have to come from behind and have some heroics in the seventh.
Colson Coffey.
Colson Coffey, 1-for-3 on the day. So Ethan Williams with probably the biggest hit of his young life. Ball one from Troxel to Colson Coffey. So here's due up for Enid in the seventh. Cross Bay, Braden Pierce, and C.J. Arndt. Ball two.
Just get through this, get to this guy, and get to the seventh. We've had some opportunities.
Ball three. Another thing to keep track of, the stolen base numbers. Enid has left seven men aboard. And Sepulpa has left seven on as well. But now they lead 4-3. Strike from Troxel that time on a fastball, 3-1. Well, the bad news is you'd suffer a loss if you're Enid, but the good news is you would play Sand Springs, so you have two wins over, but those were back in early March. Fly ball into right, C.J. Arndt trying to get there. He dives for it. Did he make the catch? No, it goes to the wall. 5-3, a double.
Man. Good hitting. That ball was hit deep. CJ looked like he was about to track it, but with a little help from that wind, it pushed it right to the wall.
So Troxel with a blown save. Unfortunately for him, his first of the year. And Enid's going to have to, unless they summon up some magic in the bottom of the seventh, they will end up having to wait around and play another game against Sand Springs. With Kyle Alcorn. Alcorn hits it hard into right. Down in front of Hudson. 6-3. And a double. Three straight RBI doubles here. Five hits in the inning. Four runs for Sepulpa. Troxel's going to have to go.
Got to get him out. Just, you don't use him up for this evening and tomorrow.
He comes out of the game. We'll have a new Enid pitcher when we come back in a moment. 6-3 Sepulpa. You're listening to Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
John Bowers here. For over 90 years now, businesses in northwest Oklahoma have looked to Messer Bowers Insurance to help them start their business and to manage their risks to help them stay in business. So whether you are starting a new business or looking for agents to tailor insurance coverage to cover your risks, call Messer Bowers Insurance. 90 years strong. With the experience to make a difference through top carriers like State Auto. So call us at 233-1442. That's Messer Bowers Insurance, 233-1442.
Folds of Honor is on a mission to empower military families by providing educational scholarships to the children and spouses of military servicemen and women killed or disabled while serving our great nation. That's why Security National Bank of Enid is offering the SMB Folds of Honor Visa debit card. It can be used for all your normal purchases and doesn't cost you anything extra. A portion of each purchase will go to make a lasting impact for military families. Request your Security National Bank Folds of Honor Visa debit card today. Strong, safe, secure. That's Security National Bank of Enid. Member FDIC.
Encouragement. Would you like to hear genuine words of encouragement? Where can you hear those words today? For many, the answer is the church. It's here you receive words of encouragement of the never-ending love Jesus has for you, that God does have a plan for your life, and there's a special place reserved for you in the family of God. We are the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Visit this weekend and hear the words of encouragement you've been missing. To find out more, check the Yellow Pages for a Lutheran church near you.
KCRC.
Sometimes in life, it feels like the most humbling sport of all can be baseball. And the Enid Plainsmen have found out just how humbling that sport can be. They were able to get two outs very quickly in the top of the seventh, a fly out to Wyatt Sellers, a ground out to Hayden Bullinger. And with the score 3-2, Enid Sepulpa, after being dormant offensively for most of the day, has caught fire. They have scored four runs in this inning on five hits. They lead the Enid Plainsmen 6-3 in the top of the seventh with two outs. And Colby Jarnigan has to come in to relieve Colton Troxell. Jarnigan's first pitch to Estes, the pinch hitter for Cody Rossman. And Jarnigan gets him out on a bunt try to end the seventh. But since we just took a timeout, we'll go ahead and keep it right here. Four runs on five hits with no errors, and a man left on for Sepulpa. So Enid now has gone from thinking that possibly they could end this game and win it with a good, solid top of the seventh inning. They had Colton Troxell on, who had nine saves this year. He got the first two outs, and then all of a sudden, the door fell open for Sepulpa after they had seen it close in their face a lot in this game, and Enid at one point led this game 3-0. But now Sepulpa leads it 6-3 with
just a failure to cover first base.
Yep.
On the diving stop by Jarnigan, and our pitcher just didn't get over there. That could have easily been the last out of the game, three up and three down. And after that, they just hit the ball hard four straight times.
Well, Coach Brad Gore told me this in our pregame interview, and he has said it a lot this week, getting ready for the playoffs. If we suffer one loss, we cannot just get down on ourselves and quit. And boy, is that ever going to be tested now, unless Enid can come up with four runs in the bottom of the seventh inning. So they're three outs away from a loss in the regional round against a team that's 13-20. And the regular season is one thing, Butch, but boy, the playoffs, totally different animal.
Teams that have tough records have probably got better through the season. Maybe they have more upside. And once this game stayed close, you know, that's made Sepulpa think they were definitely in the game. Their pitcher did a great job.
Wyatt Sellers, yep, the starter. And now Garrett Estes will have a chance to be the winning pitcher. So here's who's due up for Enid in this part of the game. 4, 5, and 6 batters of Cross Bay, Braden Pierce and C.J. Arndt. And sometimes, Butch, in this situation, all it takes is a couple of hitters to get on base.
Good pressure on the defense or pressure on the pitcher.
But then again, it doesn't always take that. So Sepulpa got their first two guys out so quickly, and the game looked like it was going to end. And next thing you know, they score four runs on five hits, and they lead 6-3 now. Bottom of the seventh with Cross Bay coming up. He is 1-for-1 with two walks and two runs scored. He's one of your five seniors. He's been a big leader, and he smashes this one to left, but it just goes foul. I mean, that one was rolling right on the line, and if that was to the right of the white line, we're talking about possibly an extra base hit right now.
It's up to these first couple of three guys. Get on base some way. Put a little pressure on them here in the bottom of the seventh.
But it's just one of those things, man. It's just baseball can swing in a heartbeat. That one's almost through the legs of Gage Williams. Good stop. 1-1.
Always thinking these kind of games where you got just a short lead. Boy, those last two hits by Sepulpa was made it tougher.
1-1. Loading outside. 2-1. A lot of baseball left, though. Still got to get three outs against Enid. Now, Enid had those three hits in the second. They've recorded at least a hit in every inning of this ball game. In that sixth, they had no runs with one hit, no errors. They left two men on base. They have stranded nine men total. Cross Bay with a smash to right center, and that ball is off the wall. And he will round second. He's going to come on and stop there. So a good start, a double for Cross Bay. So now Enid has had at least one hit in every inning but the first one for eight total in the game. Sepulpa only had one hit going into the fifth, and then they got two in that inning, two in the sixth, and then they exploded for five in the seventh. Telling you, man. You look at Jinx. Jinx had a lot of trouble against Sand Springs in the game before this. And Enid, seeding-wise, they're the favorite. They're the three seed against the six seed Sepulpa. Sepulpa not going quietly. They lead 6-3. Enid's now got Braden Pierce up, who's 0-1. A strikeout. He's been hit by a pitch and has a sacrifice bunt. The first pitch to him, lofted outside by Garrett Estes, 1-0. Good patience by Cross against that soft-throwing left-handed Garrett Estes.
Just hit Pierce on. Just home plate guy away.
Pierce lines it, but foul. 1-2. Braden Pierce came into this game hitting 259. Cross Bay came in hitting 389, and he is 2-for-2 in the contest. Now you got the tying run on deck with C.J. Arndt waiting. Pierce chased it and missed. 1-2.
Set a left-hand changeup that Estes threw, and tough pitch. It was down. Perfect spot.
It is 6-3, Sepulpa. They trail the entire game until the seventh. 1-2 offering. And Pierce makes contact, but bloops it out onto the street, foul. Count will stay at 1-2. Leadoff man, Cross Bay, gets on with a double. Pierce and C.J. Arndt, Kobe Hudson, Jarnigan, and Troxel. Although we might see a pinch hitter for Troxel, if we get there even. Good eye by Pierce. Estes was way outside on that one, 2-2. So you get four runs if you're Enid in this game, you win it. Games were scheduled today for 11:30, 4:30, and 6:30. I don't see that happening. Pierce drives this one a mile high into right, and it is caught on the run by the right fielder who nearly doubles off Cross after he catches it. Hayden Bulliger makes the first down. Bay gets back to second in time with C.J. Arndt coming up. He's 1-for-3 with an RBI. Boy, this would be an optimal time to get one here.
They get on base,
C.J. Arndt.
Find an error, dribble one through, get the tying run up.
And remember, it's double elimination. So you lose in this game, you're going to come right back and win in the second, knowing that you can come back the next day. Pitch to C.J. Arndt. Swing and a miss. 0-1. After C.J., it's Kobe Hudson. You'd love to get to Kobe. He's 2-for-3 with a run scored in this game and also has an RBI. Game has had a lot of twists and turns in it. 0-1 pitch. C.J. way outside on that one, swung on and missed it.
That off-speed changeup that was outside the strike zone away from C.J. Going to have to work with that one a little bit because he's going to see it again in these next two pitches.
Estes fires. That time C.J. stays away from it. It's 1-2. 6-3, Sepulpa, one out. And CJ with a drive into center, caught. Throws back to second, doubles off Cross Bay. Cross took off running and thought he could go to third. It got caught by Ethan Williams, and he throws to second, and the game is over. And Cross Bay hangs his head in defeat. And Brad Gore has to go over and shake Steve Irvine's hand from Sepulpa. That is as hard as the Muskogee loss was to Stomach last year. That one might be worse. A 3-2 lead, 3-0 lead, and just like that, Sepulpa scores six unanswered to come back and win this game 6-3. So Enid will have to take a break. They will not play in the next game. It'll be Sepulpa against Jinx, and Enid will play in the last game of the night against Sand Springs, and hopefully for Sand Springs, the third time won't be the charm after Enid beat them twice in the regular season. You hope that that trend continues. Otherwise, their season will come to an end. So, the final here, 6-3 from Jinx as Sepulpa beats Enid. We'll put a final wrap on that one when we come back in just a moment. You're listening to Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
How's that car you're driving right now? Are you ready for a new vehicle? Stewart Nissan in downtown Enid has the perfect car for you. With a wide selection of new Nissans and used vehicles, you may have a hard time finding just one. And when you get a new car from Stewart Nissan, it will last because their service department will keep it like it's always new. If you're driving, keep going to Stewart Nissan and check out the full lot of cars, trucks, and SUVs. Stewart Nissan at 301 North Independence or visit StewartNissanOfEnid.com.
Imagine, you're reading a book, there's a pretty decent buildup, and you turn the page anxious to see what's next. The end. Don't let your education be like that book that you just threw across the room. With convenient locations in Tonkawa, Enid, and Stillwater, Northern Oklahoma College can be the next chapter in your life. Enrollment for the summer and fall semester is now open, so visit us at noc.edu to learn more. And remember, don't settle for an unfinished story. Turn your future into something epic with Northern Oklahoma College.
Northern Oklahoma College.
Welcome back to Hilarious Hashtags brought to you by Jack's Outdoor Power Equipment.
Store gave me a square air filter for my mower. Turns out mine uses a round one. Hashtag nothing like Jax.
Tried to get a part for my edger from the store where I bought it. Guy tried to sell me a new one. Hashtag wish I would have went to Jax.
Whether it's reliable service or buying the right mower for your yard, remember Jax Outdoor Power Equipment. Come here first. You won't regret it. 1321 North Van Buren in Enid.
I'm John Bowers, and for 80 years now, Messer Bowers Insurance has been helping families and business owners by tailoring the right insurance products to fit the individual needs of each policyholder and providing the service to back it up. In that time, we've worked with thousands of business owners to set up insurance programs that help make them grow and prosper. The right insurance program really is an important part of any business. If you're a business owner, or if you're thinking of starting a new business, put our experience to work for you. Messer Bowers Insurance, 80 years strong, 233-1442.
Nobody does trucks better than Northcutt Chevrolet Buick in Enid. Northcutt is your commercial truck headquarters in the state of Oklahoma, and they are Northwest Oklahoma's only Chevrolet business elite dealer. They've got them all with the best selection of chassis cabs, crew cabs, commercial vans, flatbeds, auto cranes, and service body trucks. If you need a tough truck for a big job, your first stop needs to be Northcutt, where you can take a look at the all-new 2017 Chevy Silverado. You'll find a courteous sales staff with over 175 years of experience that will go above and beyond to help you find the right vehicle. Call 800-749-9536 today or go to northcuttauto.com to see their entire inventory online. Right now, get 2016 model year closeout pricing. Save thousands with huge discounts and big rebates. One-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs with easy finance terms, great selection, and the best prices. Northcutt Chevrolet Buick in Enid, your shortcut to a great deal.
Folds of Honor is on a mission to empower military families by providing educational scholarships to the children and spouses of military servicemen and women killed or disabled while serving our great nation. That's why Security National Bank of Enid is offering the SMB Folds of Honor Visa debit card. It can be used for all your normal purchases and doesn't cost you anything extra. A portion of each purchase will go to make a lasting impact for military families. Request your Security National Bank Folds of Honor Visa debit card today. Strong, safe, secure. That's Security National Bank of Enid, member FDIC.
Sin,
It's not just doing bad things, it's a broken relationship with God the Father. You and I have both sinned and fall short of God's glory. We are the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We won't make you rich or promise a perfect life, nor heal your bruised inner child, but we will show you the real Jesus, the Son of God in flesh, who paid for the world's sins on the cross. Yours too. In Him you have peace with God. To find out more, check the yellow pages for a Lutheran church near you.
1390 KCRC.
Well, I have been broadcasting Enid baseball games for 3 years now, and I don't know that I saw a more hard-to-swallow loss than I just witnessed. Enid had a 3-2 lead on the Sepulpa Chieftains in the top of the seventh inning. Sepulpa was down to their last strike, their last out, and they end up scoring 4 runs on 5 hits in the top of the seventh inning, and they go on to win 6-3. And
future breakouts. Want to try Proactive Plus? They're letting everyone try Proactive Plus 100% risk-free. Plus, they're giving away 2 free gifts and free shipping when you call right now. 800-281-8770. You heard right. A risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, 2 free gifts and free shipping. Take it from me, Proactive really works. So here's the deal again for our listeners. You'll get prescription-grade Proactive Plus, their amazing skin purifying mask, and a second gift of your choice. Totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you don't pay a penny. Call now. 800-281-8770. That's 800-281-8770. One more time. Ready? 800-281-8770.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Call 800-242-3186. 800-242-3186.
Hey, it's Amy Morris. I'm back in Northwest Oklahoma taking you through your overnights weekdays from 1 to 5 on CTV Sports Radio 1390 KCRC.
Live from the CBS.
Told a middle-aged racist who had used the N-word, first went up and confirmed it, then went and found an usher, and the end result, that guy vanished for life from Fenway, and at least in a small way, and maybe in a big way, maybe in a significant way, a message sent for those racists that make Fenway the spot they go for sports and to throw out their ridiculous drivel, not a safe place for you. Bring your idiocy here at your own risk. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, Jeff in the Bluegrass tweets, great opening, a crime against any human being is a crime against us all. I love that, Jeff. I completely agree. If you want to weigh in, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. We got Jimmy in Tennessee. Jimmy, appreciate you hanging out on Writer Than You. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, Bill, thanks for taking the call. Been listening to you every day since you started on my way home from work.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Agree with almost everything you said on every show, including this one, 100% until one thing.
Give it to me.
And I'm ex-military, so I really believe in the freedoms. The guy's an idiot. I'm very proud of that gentleman who stepped up and said, I don't want this near my kid. But even idiots have the right to say what they think.
Yeah, you know, the First Amendment thing's interesting, and Jimmy, it's a great, appreciate the call, and that, like, that's where the Kaepernick thing, for me too, I abhor what Kaepernick did, but I respect his right to say it. So, here's my thing on whoever this middle-aged racist was. Of course he has a right to say it. I'm not saying put him in prison. I'm not saying that idiot Nazis shouldn't be able to march down Skokie, Illinois. which they did, and the Supreme Court upheld their right to do that in a landmark First Amendment case. What I'm saying is there are consequences for behavior. Colin Kaepernick does not have a job right now because he exercised his First Amendment rights. You're not guaranteed employment, and you're not guaranteed the right to walk into Fenway. You are guaranteed the right to say what you want and not have the government, different than private business, the government interfere with your life. So yeah, like, as much as like I hate and abhor racist drivel, I would absolutely defend the right for people to say what they want to say. Fenway has the right, though, as a private business, as a place where families go, as a non-governmental institution, absolutely to say, get the hell out of here. And I love that they did it. And I'll say this, Jimmy, thank you for your service. My cousin Ryan and my wife's sister and brother-in-law also serve, depending on which of the three we're talking about. Really appreciate you, and really appreciate you listening to the show. Ryder Than You with me, Bill Ryder. Phone number 855-212-4CBS. Talking about Adam Jones and all the things that have happened since the N-word was shouted at him at Fenway at the opening part of this Orioles-Red Sox series. Latest, if you're just tuning in, a gentleman, I shouldn't call him a gentleman, he's not a gentleman, a guy, a middle-aged man, used the N-word to someone at Fenway after someone of Kenyan descent sang the national anthem. Another guy, this guy actually a gentleman, white man, heard it, confirmed that it was said, went and found somebody who worked for the Red Sox, and the racist is now gone for good, for life, and I love it. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Jason in Buffalo, what's up, dude? You're on Ryder Than You. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, man.
What's up? How you doing? How you doing, man?
I'm good.
I just want to say this, man. Like, you completely on the wrong side of the argument when you coming at Colin Kaepernick right there. He did something for other people, not because somebody called him a slur. That was self-loathing what the dude did. You know what I'm saying? I'm a black man, and we hear that word from other races all the time. And that don't make you no hero for standing up and saying, oh, yeah, he called me the N-word. But when you're doing something for somebody else at your own risk, for kids that's been killed by the police, that's completely different.
Jason, lovely call. Different. Appreciate you. Let me respond to it. I think it's really interesting. I think anytime that you are able to bring, through sports in particular, and that's sort of the space we occupy here on CBS Sports Radio, positive change, positive conversations. Look, man, there is ugly, and this is no secret to you or any of you, this is ugly stuff in the world. And where sports can make a difference, I think it's a huge thing, whether it's apples to oranges or not. So Adam Jones, whether it's defended himself or not, has made a difference. He's sent a message. Fenway's no longer a safe space for that kind of talk. As for Colin Kaepernick, you are right. It is a different level of trauma, especially if you're a black man in this country, to fear being shot by police, to have to explain to your children. Jim Jackson's been on the show. We didn't have him talk about this, but he's told me the story before. The first time, if you're a black man, you have to explain the police differently to your kids than I certainly do as a white guy to my kids. I get it. Different level of thing. But I will say this to you, and I respect, Jason, your point, and I respect that you respect what Kaepernick did. I think his cause is righteous. I think the way he did it wasn't. In part because we have a country that's fairly divided politically. We do. And when you talk about, I don't know, man, healthcare or Korea or taxes or whatever, like those things, we're not always going to agree. But when it comes to human dignity, when you do the right thing but it's divisive, and you drown out people who might otherwise listen, I don't think it's the right call, the right approach. What Colin Kaepernick did, not to revisit that topic, I want to talk about Adam Jones. Righteous cause, I think he did it the wrong way. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Jackson in New York City. What's up, man? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm good, dude.
Hey, before I state what I'm going to say, I want to tell you I completely agree. I think that this guy, you know, he said it on a racist format. But with that being said, totally freedom of speech. I think that we all need to have tough skin and understand and stand up for what's right. But with that, I do think there's a double standard with the word. I go to Philly games all the time, and let me tell you something. That word's thrown around a ton, and they better be ready to lock up some other guys on the opposite spectrum. Some African American fellas too, because you know it's not a good word all the way around, and they better be ready to use the double-edged sword.
So you Jackson, know, appreciate. No, it's a good call. Go ahead. Go.
See
go
that.
Ahead.
I don't think you're going to see that. But
well, here's the thing. Let me address that. So it's two things. Like one, no one's getting locked up. Like nobody should be locked up for what they say in America. And two, this is for me.
Hold on. The police are investigating it. Okay. So let's just
the moment he's locked up, we can absolutely. The moment he's locked up, we can absolutely talk about whether or not his First Amendment rights have been violated. Absolutely.